Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday evening. Very big show we have for you. Too many videos. We have too many videos to get to, and we'll be joined by a very special guest, a new up-and-coming rising star in the country music scene by the name of Matt Baker, whose AI country song about paying taxes to pedophiles still has me cracking up every time I watch it. So we'll have a big show, lots of videos to get to, lots of news to cover. Let's begin, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, the 6th of February, 2026. Trump removes video with racist clip depicting Obamas as apes. Yeah, let me catch you up on this one in case you haven't heard. U.S. President Donald Trump has removed a social media video which included a racist clip depicting Barack and Michelle Obama as apes. Well, my God. My God, what will he do next? The clip, set to the song The Lion Sleeps Tonight, was at the end of a 62-second video he shared containing claims about voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Republican Senator Tim Scott, dash, who is black, dash, had called for the president to remove the post, describing it as the most racist thing I've ever seen out of this White House. Well, my God. The White House initially defended the clip as an internet meme video and said, told critics to stop the fake outrage, which is what they should have stuck with. Frankly, they should have doubled down. If that's the most racist thing they've got, they're not going to the parts of the internet I go to. I'll tell you that right now. It's the only way, folks. It's the only way. When they get mad at you and say it's racist to depict your political enemies as a bunch of goofy apes, the only thing to do is go, you thought that was racist? Check this out, though. What about this, actually? There's nothing racist about this. The racist thing is to think that you can't compare monkeys to black people. It's very strange how this works. Very strange. It's like, I can't believe you did that. Why not? Well, come on, monkeys, black people, I mean, we're all thinking it. It's like, what? No. No one's thinking that. You are, apparently. It's just, you know, you got our news, you got the real news about the Epstein files and the, you know, peace treaties and the just insane stuff going on. And then you've got the fake news, the normie news, the mainstream news, which everybody's mad at Trump calling Obama a monkey. So that's what they're all focused on. Seriously, it's like the main story. Drudge Report, just like top headline, tons of stories on the side, just like, meltdown. It's a Photoshop image of monkeys with the Obama's face on them. So stop the presses. Meanwhile, Trump envoy met directly with Iran foreign minister in Oman. Oh, look, an important thing that we should care about. The U.S. and Iran had several hours of nuclear negotiations in Oman on Friday, and officials from both countries indicated they expect further meetings in the coming days. During the talks, Trump advisors Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner met directly with Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi. Two sources briefed in the meeting said, we'll bring you more updates on that as well as Russia later today. The scandal of the Jeffrey Epstein files in the U.K. continues to show us the way that we should follow. UK police searching two properties linked to Peter Mandelson over Epstein investigation. British police said they're searching two properties linked to Peter Mandelson as part of their investigation into misconduct in public office. Following revelations about the former UK ambassador to the US's links to disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. Again, we'll get back to this, but it's like we're in bizarro world where we get to see through a mirror dimension what an appropriate response looks like, only it's only happening in the UK inexplicably. Then we have this. Who entered Jepstein's jail tier the night of his death? Newly released video logs appear to contradict official accounts. Yes, folks, a mysterious figure in bright orange was seen going in and out of Jeffrey Epstein's cell when he was quote-unquote killing himself. Is this going to be the final nail in that particular, I don't know if coffin's the right word, but it's time we stop pretending. Finally, EU charges China's TikTok with violating digital content rules with addictive design features as the attack on free speech ramps up across the world. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by the AlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us. More on the other side.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Oh my God. The most racist thing I've ever seen, folks. We gotta watch it in full. I mean, we gotta really, you know, it's tough. It's tough to watch. You know, I hate to subject my audience to this, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta look. You got to look into the abyss, at least for a glance. You don't stare into the abyss, but you got to take the bull by the horns. You got to look this evil in the eye. All right, folks, so we're going to do it. As uncomfortable as it makes us, we're going to watch the most racist thing ever posted on the internet right now. Let's go to, was it clip number two? Here it is. Let's go to the full one. Let's go to clip number three here. Right? We need to bask in the whole thing. Sorry, this is a very serious scandal. It is the top news across the United States right now. Top story, Donald Trump is a racist. I know this is the first you're hearing this, the first time this claim has been made. I'll give you a second to get over the shock of this announcement. Donald Trump, in fact, is a big fat racist, and this is, everything else is slammed to a halt. MAGA and the apes. I don't know what we're going to do about this. I mean, we're going to have congressional hearings. I think he should go to jail. I think Donald Trump should go to jail. I think maybe we need to redo the 2024 election in light of this just unbelievable series of events where Donald Trump has posted a racist meme. This is clearly a very big deal, and it matters a lot, folks. Okay, let's go to the meme now. Fair warning, you're with small children, or the easily excitable, or pregnant women, ask them to leave the room now. We are about to watch the most racist meme ever posted. Let's watch. It's a good song. Oh, sorry. Sorry, we're outraged. Sorry, we're very outraged. My God. You know, just when you think black people are making a go of it, just when Black Lives Matter is defunding the police and we're getting rid of test scores, things are really turning around, something like this happens, and it's like it undoes it all. It's like here we are, back in back in the Jim Crow days. I mean, my God, did Rosa Parks die for nothing? I mean, how have we let ourselves fall this far? Well, wait, that's a black woman as a hippo. Hold on. Well, wait, is it just his enemies as animals and it's not racial? Wait a second. Oh, wait, is all of this outrage absolutely fabricated and total nonsense? Hold on. Wait a second. Now that I've thought about this for a second, I think this might be retarded. Hold on a second. I'm getting news here that this is all ridiculous and stupid. So that's what they're focused on. That's what the powers that be are focused on. Not to spend 10 minutes making the same joke over and over, but there's a reason, right? You understand what's really going on here. You understand that I'm not even exaggerating when I say that more attention, outrage, and public statements have been made on the mainstream media about that meme you just saw than the revelation of a global pedophile surveillance control grid. More intense headlines on more media outlets. I mean, Drudge was trying to tell everybody that it was the Russians that were controlling Jeffrey Epstein, praying it was fake because it's the most racist thing I've ever seen out of this White House. The president should remove it. It's just tragic. Really is tragic. I mean, honestly, the more offensive one was that fat girl depicted as a pig. That one's actually kind of mean. But no, you're not allowed to depict black people as monkeys. Why? Kind of racist answer, I think. Now, this goes back, I regret not making the skit. Maybe somebody can make it with AI, but it's just not a story anymore. But there was a big story back in like 2016, 17, 18. And there was a big scandal because there was a like JCPenney catalog or something. And one of the shirts they were selling for little kids said coolest monkey in the jungle. And can you believe they had the temerity of having a black child wear that shirt? And it became a big thing. It was like people got fired over it because a black kid was wearing a shirt that said coolest monkey in the jungle. And I always wanted to make a skit of like the photography session where it's some gay photographer just being like, good, yes, perfect. Okay, stand like this. Okay, next one, next model, bring in the next model. And it's like a black kid in the shirt and he's like, ooh, I don't know about this. Like, why not? We're selling this shirt. Well, what's the problem? It's like black kid, monkey. I mean, do we really want to send that message? And it's like, no, that's the racist response. If you see a black kid wearing a shirt that says coolest monkey in the jungle and your first thought is, oh, black people are like monkeys, is like, well, that's on you, actually. That's actually entirely on you. Jasmine Crockett. Oh, what's this big-brained lady say? Donald Trump had the most racist, bigoted audacity. Donald Trump had the racist, bigoted audacity to post an AI-generated video depicting former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama as apes. Most of us already know who Donald Trump is. We already know there are no bounds to how low he's willing to go. We know that he has no moral compass. We know that he is a disgrace. So while his behavior is not shocking, it is certainly disgusting and disturbing. But when will it be enough for those who continue to stand beside him? When will Republicans in Congress condemn this behavior? Your science is complicity, and it's very loud. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to portray Jasmine Crockett as a monkey. I'm going to make a meme of Jasmine Crockett as a monkey, and I'm going to post it on the internet. That's what I'm going to do right now. I love black people, by the way, just not ones like her. Not her, though. I don't like her. I would ask the crew to do this, but don't go to my screen for the love of God. We'll do this during the break. I've changed my mind. All right. The crew's working on. The crew's whipping it up right now. I'll just say, never put my computer on screen when I'm using Twitter search. That was a mistake. I'll have you know right now. I'm glad that didn't go out over the air. You know what? Speaking of the glorious history of African Americans, it is Black History Month this month. It seems like we've forgotten about it the last couple of years. I think something else has taken precedent. But in celebration of Black History Month, John Doyle from The Blaze has been doing a series where daily he debunks a myth of black history, because after all, if you don't have the truth, you got nothing, right? Anything you're building on a foundation of deception is bound to fail. So we have to tell the truth about what's actually happened in history if we want to learn from it or for it to provide a reasonable launch pad into the future. And I got to say, I haven't watched this one yet. But I'm excited to watch it because this has been a report that I've been meaning to do for 8-9 years at this point. It's a report from John Doyle about Thomas Jefferson and the lies about him being a slave rapist. And I think this is one of the most pernicious and despicable lies that is, it sort of came about early enough that people weren't on guard for it. And so it got in. It's like been grandfathered in. Like now, if this story had never been told and all of a sudden people were going, did you know Thomas Jefferson actually was a slave rapist? We'd go, shut up. We know what you're doing. This is woke nonsense. You're making up a lie to try to skewer the founding fathers because you hate the freedoms that they enshrined into law. It would just be obvious. But when it was like the mid-2010s and they started pushing this, we hadn't developed the allergic reaction yet. Our immune system for this type of crap hadn't developed the right antibodies for it yet. And so it has been now basically adopted into actual history. And it's not true. It is just flagrantly false, like amazingly wrong, the claims about Thomas Jefferson. But they've been around for so long that like it's really hard to find the true story. And the reason I said I've been meaning to make this is because it's been around for a while. But I remember going to Monticello to visit Thomas Jefferson's house. And this story of Thomas Jefferson raping his slaves was like a main fixture at Monticello. They have basically taken this blatant lie about him, and it is a blatant lie, and have now fused it indelibly into his actual life story and into the history that we tell American children about our founding fathers. This is so despicable, and it is such a, again, just flagrant blood libel against Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest human beings to ever exist, that I'm embarrassed that I never got around to it. Because the thing is, anyway, we'll go to the video. But like, the claims came out of nowhere, and they basically just took over, and everybody was too scared to say that it wasn't true. And you only had like one or two people in the like Thomas Jefferson Memorial Heritage, you know, organization that was created to like, you know, help to sort of foster his reputation through the ages. Like they completely went along with this lie. And it's just a crime against America basically to spread this lie. So I'm so happy John Doyle put this together. Let's watch, shall we? Let's go to clip number 69. This is Thomas Jefferson did not actually have kids with his slave, by the way. Let's watch.
Day 3 of exposing black history because it like literally didn't even happen. But you probably heard about Thomas Jefferson allegedly having sex with one of his black slaves, Sally Hemings. Apparently they had a bunch of kids together. You learn all about this in school. If you go to Monticello, Jefferson's estate, it's all you hear about. And this is of course done because they would like to further tar the image of the men who founded our country. The good news is that it's literally not even true. Sally Hemings was not even black like they portray her now to be. She was 3/4 white, 1/4 black. Brittany Venti would be more black than she was. She had fair skin, straight hair, the whole nine yards. They need you to believe that she was fully 100% black because that's what suits their narrative. Okay, fine. Who cares? What was the relationship that they even had? Well, Sally was Jefferson's daughter's servant. Thousands of letters, tens of thousands of letters. The only thing Jefferson ever says about her is Marie's servant is doing well after having a child. And the only time Sally was ever with Jefferson outside of her time in Monticello was in Paris. And she wasn't even the person that he requested to accompany him. He wanted an older woman to accompany his daughter and care for her, but Sally was the only one available because she was inoculated against smallpox. And even though she was 14 when his daughter Marie was 9, when the two stayed with the Adams in France, they said that Sally was even more childish than the 9-year-old daughter Marie. And if you know anything about Jefferson, that does not exactly match up with his taste in women. When Jefferson was in Paris and, you know, he's building up the roster, he had a couple women that he was going after, writing letters to. One was a relative of Alexander Hamilton, and the other was Maria Causeway, to whom he wrote his famous love letter, The Dialogue Between My Head and My Heart, wherein he describes with intricate detail the duel between his head and his heart over how smitten he's become with her. The point being, Thomas Jefferson was a highly intelligent, aristocratic guy who was going after highly intelligent, mature, aristocratic English women, not exactly 14-year-old immature slave girls. Where does this even come from in the first place? Well, there was a paternity test that showed that Eston Hemings, only Eston Hemings, not her other son, Thomas Woodson, was a match with Jefferson's Y chromosomes. Okay, so that's literally it. Conclusive proof, Jefferson, you are the father. No, because that DNA also matched Randolph Jefferson, Thomas's younger brother, and his 5 sons. A little bit about this Randolph character. He was described by the Monticello slave Isaac Jefferson as old master's brother, Mass Randolph, a mighty simple man, used to come out among black people, play the fiddle, and dance half the night. He was also known for going to bed with them after after he was done playing.
And wouldn't you know it,
guess who was invited to come hang out at Monticello 9 months before Eston Hemmings was born? Randolph Jefferson and his kids. So who do you think is more likely to be the father? The sensitive young man who writes sappy love letters to English aristocrats and had to stay home for 2 days because he had a terrible headache after he embarrassed himself in front of a girl he liked? Or his brother, who liked to get down, party with slaves, and was also known to have a little bit of an appetite for black queens? Keep Thomas Jefferson's name out your mouth. Truth matters. I love black people.
Very well done. Very well done. Yeah, that about covers it. But it actually gets more crazy because it literally is just that DNA test. And it wasn't done on Eston Hemmings and Thomas Jefferson. It was done with their descendants 10 generations on or something like that. And they basically took this very tangential connection where it's like, okay, they share a Y chromosome. Then you can't tell, okay, you got this chromosome 12 generations back or whatever it is. It's just like at some point in the last 200 years, there was a relationship between these two families. It is so tenuous and unverifiable and wrong, but it has become the basis for everything people know about Thomas Jefferson. That's the craziest part. And the most damaging part is if you ask kids right now who Thomas Jefferson is, I bet you the number one thing American kids know about Thomas Jefferson is that he raped his slaves. It's not even true. But that's probably the only thing that they come away with. They don't know that he wrote the Declaration of Independence. They have no idea the like genius that he wielded. Because why would you? He's a slave rapist. Why would you care what he has to say? Why would you care about his ideas? The ideas are probably evil because how could good ideas come from somebody so utterly despicable, right? That's why they've been teaching it this way. And it really is disgusting. But yeah, it was almost certainly his brother, if anybody. But even that is pretty uncertain. So there you go. Good job, John Doyle. He is absolutely killing it with these videos. And honestly, I was too engrossed with the video. Usually when a video is playing, I'm like thinking about what I'm going to cover next, but I was like too engrossed in that video. Now I'm like, oh wait, now we got to move on. But again, all of this starts with Tim Scott saying the Trump post is the most racist thing he's ever seen from the White House. Okay. I think we've made fun of that story enough now, but just to let you know what the mainstream media is actually focusing on and caring about. I just have time now to go to a longer video that I think is extremely good, that it's an African guy talking about the Epstein files. And I think this may be the best breakdown I've heard of the files, in fact. And we'll comment on the other side, but clip number 53, he says it's not the Epstein files. What this document drop represents, what it reveals, what it is a coup d'etat against the United States by the State of Israel. Let's watch.
It's raining here, but I have an opinion I'd like to share with the American people. And you can do with it whatever you want. Epstein Files is an Israeli coup d'etat against America. In fact, calling it the Epstein Files is the way your corrupt deep state is covering up the full magnitude of this huge Israeli coup operation. None of you seem to realize how big of a national security issue Israel's blackmail campaign against America is, and how it is about Israel taking over America's democracy, taking over its institutions, taking over its corporations, and its entire Wall Street economy, plus strangling the American people's First Amendment freedoms by canceling, silencing, and even murdering any critics of Israel, while enslaving America's political representatives, getting them to commit treason by serving a foreign country against their own people, and recruiting the American media and their public personalities, all in a coup involving corruption, money laundering, sex tapes, and threats against those who challenge the coup. Israel has even taken over your weapons manufacturers. They own all of them through the investment company called BlackRock. You know that. And Israel is behind the deployments of your military to even more U.S. bases globally, waiting for their final solution against all of us when they want to rule the world. They are now even trying to take control of your military and deploying them through your political representatives against you inside your own cities. It's not an Israeli lobby that you have in your country. It's an Israeli junta against the American people. And their global operation is way more serious and widespread than the average American can grasp. That's how much trouble you Americans are in. And that's how much Israel is working against you and ultimately against all of us while many are asleep. I repeat, it's not some Epstein sex tapes you are dealing with. It is an outright corrupt coup d'etat conducted by sophisticated global military intelligence operation through Mr. Epstein. In fact, other Israeli agents are still conducting the exact same operation in America and worldwide right now as we speak on more leaders, more businessmen, and more government officials around the world. Right now, in America, your biggest political problem is not your regular Republicans versus Democrats politics. When you focus on that, it's like you are still sleepwalking while Israel works on your demise. This time the fight is America versus the Israel First Junta. Their mission is to take control of your country, enslave you to Israel, and make America pay for its own enslavement through annual foreign aid to Israel, from which Israel then recruits more of your lawmakers from your own money, using your own money. A U.S. politician called Tim Burchett even reportedly declared that there is a paper trail of money that was sent overseas as foreign aid, but ended back in the pockets of your Israel First lawmakers in Washington. That's the kind of corruption and money laundering going on in the billions of dollars sent to Israel every year. That statement made AIPAC rush to distance itself from making donations to election campaigns of pro-Israel politicians. The cycle of corruption has finally been exposed. My advice to everyone is keep as far away as possible from Israelis. They are the enemy of mankind, all of us. They have no good intentions for anyone except themselves. Not even when they come with the sweetest deals or offer you their best treats, even their smile is a weapon against your freedom, since they intend to enslave all of you in the end. Quash this Israel blackmail coup d'etat and take back your country from the global parasites who are sucking the life out of your democracy, out of your freedoms, and out of your tax dollars. Whether you are white or black, Muslim, Christian, or whatever other faith, they will spit on you and you will be turned into their slaves, as their Talmud commands them to do to all of us. They are using every tactic to distract you from their mission until they get there. They will distribute media talking points on select toxic issues for you to fight amongst yourselves and get you to focus on what everyone else is doing except what they themselves are quietly doing against you. As you all know, they will even instigate anti-Semitic attacks against themselves and terrorist attacks against you so that you are taken by grief and mourning while they move even faster forward towards their goal like Special Forces commandos. So reclaim your country, especially white America. Reclaim your country, whom they see, you the whites are actually the ones that they see as useful idiots. Or else you will all end under the brutal Orwellian dictatorship of a genocidal democracy of hate from the Middle East. All you need to remember is this. Any of your public officials who even mentioned Israel, that is a walking blackmailed pedophile marching scot-free from his crimes while serving the American demise, and therefore should be kicked out of public office at the ballot box, regardless of which party he or she belongs to. That's the only mission you have to save yourself first. The more you delay, the deeper the shit you'll have to struggle to come out of. Thank you.
Can't say he's wrong. How is it? And apparently that's Idi Amin's son. How does he have a better grasp of American politics than the average right-winger? How's that the case? How'd that come about, I wonder? All right, we'll be right back with more, because this really is the important part. Everything he laid out, we got to solve this problem. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexshowstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexshowstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend big. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I gotta say, the video we just watched, apparently Idi Amin's son, talking about the fact that what the Epstein files represent is not a sex trafficking ring, but rather the blueprint of a global coup d'etat by the Israelis. I agree with that. I think it's exactly what it is, and I think we have to confront that, and we have to address that. We have to identify that as the source of a lot of other issues that we're having. Because these people cannot tell the truth about Jeffrey Epstein. They can't tell the truth about Iran. They're trying to start a war with Iran. I've got some breaking news about that, as we seem to be making a move in that direction. But I find this kind of hard to stomach. Because I'm about to show you a video from a woman named Melanie Phillips. And she was actually featured in my, Eighth Front video. She is a woman near the end. And I actually have the full video. if we want, where she's giving a speech to the Jewish News Syndicate, and she's saying the West will not survive if they don't appreciate us Jews. And essentially saying, in no uncertain words, like, submit or die. Basically saying submit or die. Because then she comes along and makes this video where she basically blames the entire Jeffrey Epstein saga on the West and our failures, our shortcomings. And again, I find this just very hypocritical and offensive, quite frankly. So let's go to clip number 54 and see what this woman, Melanie Phillips, who's some columnist, author, but a prominent spokeswoman, self-appointed, I guess, of the Jewish community. Here's her takeaway about what's been revealed from Jeffrey Epstein.
Hello, everybody.
Now let's go to clip 54 here.
Just think for a minute what the West now takes pride in. Sexual morality? Destroyed. Lifestyle free for all? You bet. Non-judgmentalism? Mandatory. The nuclear family? Smashed. Good riddance, eh? Girls have been taught to be shameless. Result? Young men have been licensed to be sexual predators. Me and my desires are now the center of the universe. So we've waved goodbye to accountability in politics as in life. Nihilism is flaunted as idealism, and hypocrisy has been rebranded as conscience. So why on earth is anyone remotely surprised by the global cesspit that has now been revealed as Jeffrey Epstein's world?
So I guess what you're saying is, I guess if I'm hearing this correctly, the cesspit, as she puts it, of Jeffrey Epstein's world, as it were, the reason that it came about is because it seems like the West, as she puts it, used to be called Christendom, the Europe and the European diaspora is what it actually means. We sort of need to reclaim what we've lost over the last, 75, 80 years or so. That something's happened in the last couple of decades that we've just gone wildly off course, and we've somehow been stripped of all of our fundamental morality. What do you think that could be? What do you think could have caused such a thing to have occurred? I wonder. Because in a way, she's right. In a way, she's absolutely right. I actually agree with her. I think we need to reclaim our Christian roots. I think we need to stop being so tolerant with all of this degeneracy and the people pushing it. I think it's really put us at a major disadvantage. Benjamin Netanyahu: Jeffrey Epstein's unusually close relationship with Ehud Barak doesn't suggest Epstein worked for Israel. It proves the opposite. Oh, sure it does, buddy. Sure it does, bud. Now, one of the things I did deliberately with the Eighth Front edit was to show first people like Benjamin Netanyahu and then Jonathan Greenblatt back-to-back saying verbatim exactly the same thing, because it's often presented as these are two warring factions, but in reality, they are perfectly aligned. In the same way, you've got Jonathan Greenblatt, who's head of the ADL and who continually denounces and basically calls anti-Semitic the concept of dual loyalty. And yet he's in Israel giving speeches saying, we need to do this. We must do this. Our fight is here. We did this here. Now we have to do this here. Speaking for Israel with the pronoun we. So this is like kind of a problem. This is kind of actually a problem that we have. And the way that the Jeffrey Epstein power structure is trying to deal with this you want to talk about hypocrisy. That lady says repackaging hypocrisy is virtue, which doesn't actually mean anything. That's the other thing. If you actually parse out what that lady actually said, half of it is literally meaningless. I think she may have used ChatGPT because that's the type of phrases it comes up with. this isn't, they're repackaging hypocrisy as virtue. And it's like, what does that mean? Who are you talking about? What? Doesn't make any sense. But they just say things. It sounds profound. It's not. It literally means nothing, actually. But she's basically trying to threaten America into, what they're trying to do is create the false dichotomy that says, and again, the hypocrisy is off the charts. It basically says the West is under attack from liberals and Islamists. And so the West, which is Judeo-Christian, has to be protected. And so really what defines whether you are the West or not is whether you're anti-Semitic or not. And people that are anti-Semitic are not in the West. And people that are anti-Semitic or people that aren't anti-Semitic are in the West. People that are anti-Semitic are not in the West. And that's the dichotomy they want to push. That is a utterly and frankly, utterly ridiculous and actually kind of funny. Yeah, actually kind of a funny dichotomy, considering the fact that we hear over and over again that the entire history of Europe is anti-Semitic and, everybody in Europe has anti-Semitism in their DNA. And yet somehow the culture that came out of these intrinsically anti-Semitic people, is entirely defined on how they treat Jews. It's a little bit absurd. And it's just especially absurd when this entire cesspit, as she puts it, was like 100% Israeli Jews. So what are you talking about exactly? I don't understand. Maybe we should go to her 11-minute clip, her speech at the JNS. Maybe I'll find a good clip for it beyond what's in the Eighth Front. This is from Normal Island News on X. Here's the proof that Epstein was a Russian agent. His girlfriend was the daughter of a Mossad agent. One of his best friends was Israel's lawyer. Another one of his best friends was a former Israeli prime minister. He met with the current Israeli prime minister. A senior Israeli spy would stay at his house for weeks at a time. A friend invited him to bring his girls to Israel. He fled to Israel when he was charged with sex crimes against a minor. He was pictured wearing an IDF shirt. He was funded by pro-Israel fanatics. He worked for the Rothschilds. He donated to pro-Israel student groups. He was responsible for Wexner's group, the pro-Israel philanthropy. He supported the Israeli settlement projects. All of his friends were Zionists. He scathingly referred to non-Jews as goyim. He was involved in Israeli diplomatic efforts. He brokered security deals for Israel. He aimed to profit from regime changes in the Middle East. A former Israeli intelligence officer said he ran a honeypot for Israel. His business partner confirmed he ran a honeypot for Israel. One of his victims confirmed he ran a honeypot for Israel. So as you can see, this was all done for the benefit of Russia. There's no other explanation. There's not. That's it. We gotta figure out how to deal. I mean, we don't have to figure out how to deal with this. I think the Jewish community has to figure out how to deal with this. I really think they do. Because these people are not your friends. No matter how much they like to say that they are. You gotta not be their bodyguards. You gotta not be their human shields as they try to put you in front of them so that they don't have to suffer the consequences for the elite pedophile rings that they run, because they expect you to believe it's anti-Semitism that's causing a pushback to that. As if we need an excuse or a reason to hate elite pedophiles. Are you kidding me? And that might be a good time to go to Dan Bongino, old Danny boy. Dan Bongino doesn't know what time it is, unfortunately. I think he is still in, I mean, it may have gone, so I mean, he may still be in 2023. I was going to say like 2017 or something, but the fact is, because of the Epstein files, because of the Gaza war, because of all of this information coming out over 2 years, who are you talking to, Dan Bongino, when you are trying to frame concern about Jeffrey Epstein as anti-Semitic? We'll go to the video here in just a second, but who are you trying to fool? What are you trying to do here? Because it's not working. See, the world has flipped. It used to be that the mainstream media could choose not to cover something and it would go away, or would choose to cover something in a certain way, and then that would be established as the narrative. Now, when the mainstream media attempts to frame something dishonestly, it doesn't become the narrative. It just proves the mainstream media is controlled and is a part of the exact same criminal network that us podcasters and talk show hosts, talk show radio hosts, have been exposing. So this isn't going to work, and I can't believe he thinks it will work. And this is honestly just embarrassing. Let's go to Dan Bongino as he screams and kvetches that people aren't gleeful and happy and thankful for his utter lack of accomplishments over the last year. Let's watch.
Finally, there's a third class of people. The third class of people after October 7th went crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. I stand fully, completely, and strongly against anti-Semitic bullshit. I don't know how many times I got to tell you this. It's amazing how many people think it's like the current thing to say like they hate the Jews or something. Really? You believe that? You realize where that's led throughout human history, absent the immorality of it? Now, you may say, oh, gosh, Dan, I can't believe that that's actually happening. Really? I promise you, go look at the Twitter. The botting that does happen, and again, it's not all botting. The botting that does happen is very well organized. It is totally synthetic. It is all anti-Jewish nonsense. Read the comments. It's from like, I hate the Jews 101 and stuff. Just look at it. You can see it. It's so clearly fake. But it's an organized movement of people, and it's not a very large group of people, who've learned to amplify social media to attack anyone in the administration or outside who doesn't go and attack the Jews. 100%. Look and just read the comments. Don't take my word for it. Just go and look. Go look. You'll see it. It's everywhere. They all have the same goal. It is to dismantle this movement, take it apart from the inside, cause disruption, pick up the pieces, and rebuild it into something far different than a movement that actually conserves liberty. They all have the same goal. Libs, the anti-Jew crowd, and the doomers. The exact same goal. Once you see it, you'll never unsee it. Look at the people sending out the messages. Look at who they associate with. Just listen to it. Just read the comments. Read their hand. They don't even hide it.
Are you done, young lady? Are you done screeching yet? Didn't make a point. Didn't actually have anything to say. He's very mad. People hating Jews. Now, to a certain degree, he's right. I mean, the sheer hatred of Jews is not helpful, not beneficial to anybody. And obviously a part of the paradigm that they're trying to establish that he, of course, is playing right into, like I just said, either you're with them or you're with the Jews. You're either with the Islamists and the socialists and the Candace Owens, or you're a slave to Israel. And these are the only two options. Now, he's chosen his side. You can reject that paradigm. You can actually ignore that false dichotomy, and we can just report on the facts of what's going on. See, he's mad that people are talking about Jeffrey Epstein, and he's mad that people are talking about the usage of the word goyim, the clear examples of Jewish supremacy on display in these emails, in their personal conversations, which a few things to note on this. You notice that there was no hesitation in these people using what words that they wouldn't use in polite society. Like, you've never seen these people use these words on TV during an interview, but in private, they had no hesitation in using disparaging slurs for non-Jewish people, because they understood that they could do that and it would be fine. You know, do you see what I'm saying? In other words, racist people that are actually racist, that are like hiding their racism, they don't just go blasting out the N-word in front of people. They'll sort of test them first. right? Because you're not just going to say something that's going to offend a bunch of people unless you know you're on the same level. So all these people using these disparaging words, they're already aware we're on the same level here. We all agree with this. Because you would think if it was a bunch of white people writing to each other and somebody just casually drops the N-word, somebody, other people would be like, what the hell, dude? Why would you use that word? What's wrong with you? But that never happens in the emails. But the point of it is, he's only saying this because the perpetrators are Jewish of the Epstein sex ring. You understand what I'm saying? See, we're not covering this because they're Jewish. He's defending it because they're Jewish. This is very different. See, if Jeffrey Epstein was Moldovan or whatever else, like, doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. If it was a bunch of black people, a bunch of white people, a bunch of Christians, a bunch of Catholics, a bunch of atheists, it wouldn't matter. We'd still be covering all of this. And whatever they were talking about, we'd be covering. In this case, they happen to be Jewish. They happen to be talking about Jewish supremacy. They happen to be using words to, you know, criticize, demean non-Jews. That's what they're talking about in the documents that came out. So that's what we're reporting on. No ulterior motive necessary. Why are you not covering it? Why are you covering it up? If this was a bunch of Catholics, of course, Dan Bongino would be right out in front of everybody. See, our behavior is not dictated by the religion or the ethnicity of the people involved in this. Yours is. You understand? So we are not anti-Semitic, driven by some wild-eyed, illogical hate of a group of people because of our DNA, like they want you to believe. Dan Bongino, however, is a slave. Dan Bongino, however, is a puppy on a leash being dragged around by people who despise him. So that's very sad. That's very pathetic, actually. Sad to see. It's sad to see somebody go down like that. But again, this stuff is important to note, important to call out, important to oppose. And liars like Dan Bongino are important to criticize when they become the useful tools of tyrants, which is exactly what he has become. Pushing the false dichotomy of you're either with the West or you're with Islam and the progressives. No, you can be with America. You can be with Christianity. You can oppose the just relentless, sickening, never-ending evil from Israel. I mean, the number of things just this week that I haven't even covered, just off the top of my head, just this week, during the ceasefire, they were bombing tents. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, they were dropping chemicals over the fields in Lebanon to poison all of the crops, to poison the people there. They also were shutting off the water to the UNRWA, and actually the Israeli officials got involved directly in that. They have expelled all of the Palestinian Christians from the Shepherd's Field and taken that over while simultaneously burning huge amounts of olive trees and other types of things there. In Lebanon, where they're carrying out bombing raids, bombing campaigns against that sovereign nation, they're also menacing the people that they already killed. So there's a video from yesterday of a funeral being held for one of the people murdered by Israel. And Israel sends a drone, like a little drone, like a little DJI, little camera type drone, and just has it hovering about 2 feet above the heads of the people mourning at the funeral. Because they murdered somebody, and then when their family wants to have a funeral for them, they just have a drone floating right above them, basically telling them, we could kill you all right now. Isn't that funny? It's really sickening stuff. I think we have some stuff from today, too. Revealed, Israel bulldozed part of Gaza War cemetery containing Allied graves. So Israeli forces have bulldozed a part of a Gaza cemetery containing the war graves of dozens of British, Australian, and other Allied soldiers killed in the First and Second World Wars. Because they have no respect for people that fought and died literally for them. It's actually really a sick mindset. And interestingly, Politics Global posted this, right? The IDF has bulldozed part of the Gaza cemetery, which contained the war graves of British soldiers. Fred Krasenstein, noted leftist Jewish figure, grave sites are not forever. The earth would have zero space available for development if we respected graveyards. It's been at least 80 years now, and it's time to move on. Yeah, so what? We desecrated the graves of the war dead that died specifically to defend me and my people from eradication during the Nazi times. But, you know, screw it. It's been 80 years, so who cares about your stupid grave sites? And then somebody else is like, oh, 80 years? I guess it's time to move on from the Holocaust, too. You are disgusting. You're disgusting. How dare you? It's like, well, Israel just desecrated the graves of our war dead. Is it not them? An LLM trained on Krasenstein brothers? That's funny. Did I fall for that? So that's not actually him. Fed Krasen. That's hilarious. This is a parody Krasenstein account, but the real one probably thinks the same thing. all right. Well done. That was good. Just subtle enough. You got me. Thanks, crew, for holding me to this. But then again, okay, so what is the excuse? I mean, they did destroy the graves, right? Incredible. Pentagon Inc.'s massive $200 million deal to buy Israeli cluster bombs. Yeah, here's the drone hovering over. Israel shows no mercy, not even to the dead. In southern Lebanon, Israel is now trying to terrorize the people of the very families it killed. Israeli drones are deliberately sent overhead as grieving families visit the graves of their sons and loved ones, a calculated act of psychological intimidation. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is it anti-Semitic to say that's evil? To say that this powerful nation state bombing peasants on their border and then just for fun terrorizing the surviving family members? Like, does that mean that I hate Jewish people? Dan, Mr. Bongino, can you tell me what I'm allowed to think or not? It's okay. It's good. I have to celebrate this. I have to recognize how powerful and awesome it is to bomb a bunch of people who never did anything to you and then terrorize their family members at the funeral. That's a good thing, I guess. Otherwise, I hate Jews, Dan Bongino. You absolute despicable slave. We're going to continue on this and show you a lot of other videos in the next hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some ultramethylin blue. Sign up for the VIP club. That's an excellent way to make the most out of your purchases at the Alex Jones store. And have you gotten yourself some of the new hydration from Optimal Human or the mind fuel from Optimal Human? They're all fantastic. Get them today.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire With Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
Keep your hand all right, welcome back, on folks. Your gun. There's some strange developments in the Epstein cases. This is really, I'm not really sure what to make of this. So Bill Clinton has issued a statement. He says, I've called for the full release of the Epstein files. I have provided a sworn statement of what I know. And just this week, I've agreed to appear in person before the committee. It's still not enough for Republicans on the House Oversight Committee. Now, Chairman Comer says he wants cameras, but only behind closed doors. Who benefits from this arrangement? It's not Epstein's victims who deserve justice. Oh, my God. These people. Not the public who deserve the truth. It serves only partisan interests. This is not fact-finding. It's pure politics. I will not sit idly as they use me as a prop in a closed-door kangaroo court by a Republican Party running scared. If they want answers, let's stop the games and do this the right way in a public hearing where the American people can see for themselves what this is really all about. I mean, pretty brazen, but not exactly out of character. Depends on what your definition of is, right? I mean, for this guy, it's like, this doesn't help the victims. You scumbag. Every victim that I've heard discuss it of Jeffrey Epstein has said that Bill Clinton was his right-hand man. Every single one. The one woman I was on with, Alex Stein, and she said that it was Bill Clinton that introduced Jeffrey Epstein as, quote, the king of America. And, of course, Bill Clinton, I mean, my God. I'm just trying to, like, what would give you this level of confidence? That's pretty crazy. I mean, he must really have an ace up his sleeve of some sort. He's literally all over the Epstein story. Epstein visited the Clinton White House like a dozen times. He thinks he's going to turn this around on the Republicans? You think the crew thinks he's personally aware of how much they've scrubbed? I mean, he must be. That's what I'm saying. Like, he must have like an inside track that they're like, don't worry, Bill. We completely covered your participation up. You don't have to worry about it. Like, it's crazy. We don't need the Epstein files to know that Bill Clinton was like his best friend. He is acknowledging that there's victims. Which, I mean, just my God. I mean, these people are just despicable. Really, that's the only word for it. Now, they're trying so hard to cover up some of the stuff that's been revealed. So one of the things that was revealed was that apparently people discovered Jeffrey Epstein's account name on a lot of accounts, like things like YouTube, was Little St. Jeff, Little ST Jeff 1. And people found a Fortnite account with this handle that is at this moment active in Israel and has been active for years. The only time this account was not active was in 2019 when Jeffrey Epstein was in prison. It was the only time that Fortnite wasn't played on this account. Then people discovered this and they screenshotted the player's profile and uploaded it to the Wayback Machine on the Internet Archive. It has now been scrubbed. So who has the power to force the Internet Archive to delete material that had been archived by Internet users? It's a good question. But then it comes out from Fortnite. Hey, official Fortnite here. This was a ruse by a Fortnite player. A few days ago, an existing Fortnite account owner changed their name from something totally unrelated to Little St. Jeff 1, following the revelation of Little St. Jeff 1 as a name on YouTube. These Fortnite trackers only display your current name, not any prior changes to it. We have no record of the subject's email addresses referenced in the public documents. So they're basically covering this up. Then why did the Internet Archive delete it then? Why did the account itself go private all of a sudden? Why is the only time the account is not recorded playing Fortnite when Jeffrey Epstein was in prison? This, to me, again, screams of a cover-up. You're not making us think it didn't happen. You're just making us think that you're in on it.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
By the way, y'all see the picture of Jeffrey Epstein in Tel Aviv with his hair all grown out? Y'all see that one? It looks just like him. Nobody has ever seen his face, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he was still alive and well, playing video games. Yeah, and that was well known. That's what he did. Like, it's not out of the question that he was playing Fortnite. And all the suspicious ways of covering it up, it's just not helping. It's just really not helping. Maybe that's the message we need to get across. In fact, let's go to clip 47 here. I believe this guy himself is, there's the picture. I mean, it looks a lot like him. It looks a hell of a lot like him. And he's got security guards with the ear buds in. Security guard is Zelensky. Of course it is. It's Volodymyr Zelensky and his boss walking around Tel Aviv. Let's go to clip 47 here. And I just can't believe the mainstream media is trying to cover this up. It's just not working. Let's watch.
So I'm sure you've heard the trope, Jews own the media, right? Well, hold. I'll come back to that in a second. Isn't it interesting how network news can report every single detail about Epstein except for one? They'll cover the island. They'll cover the political figures like Trump and Clinton, the billionaires like Gates, the horrific abuse allegations, victim accounts, legal details, nonstop calls for transparency and releases. But the one thing they conveniently leave out is that Epstein was a Jewish supremacist Zionist, and he had extremely strong and well-documented relationships with Netanyahu, and he was working for Israel. But the mainstream media is leaving all of those facts out. Instead, they're packaging it as a Russian operation, Russian only, KGB intelligence. Because that's the only foreign influence that they're allowed to say out loud. The story stays framed as a scandal, never as a geopolitical operation. Total silence on that. Ehud Barak, that's the former prime minister of Israel, is photographed going in and out of Epstein's home for years, yet somehow he never makes the nightly news. A senior Israeli military intelligence officer stayed at Epstein's Manhattan residence for extended periods of time. And that's not gossip. That's not Twitter. That's documented journalism. So why does the mainstream media treat Epstein like he was just some lone predator when the evidence shows international power connections? Because the moment you mention Israel, suddenly the story becomes too sensitive, too complicated, too risky. And when facts can't be reported because they're politically inconvenient, we don't have journalism, we have PR. And when it turns into PR, it feeds the same old trope that Jews, they own the media. But that's not true. It's Israel that holds that role. And once again, they are using money and influence to shape what's getting reported. And that's the real story behind the silence. That's why Epstein's full story still hasn't been told.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think Israel, plays wields outsized influence. And Of course, even now they're trying to get us into war with Iran and are seemingly having some success in that. In fact, I can give you an update to some of that here. Iran Army reports fire at Tehran barracks, as well as there have been multiple examples of sabotage going on. I'm just trying to find the right one here. U.S. government has issued a significant warning urging Americans in Iran to leave immediately if it's safe to do so, citing rapidly deteriorating security. Citizens are warned not to rely on U.S. assistance and consider land exits to Armenia and Turkey if possible. Something big is happening. That was at 1:19 p.m. You have the barracks have caught fire. There's another building in Iran that seemingly randomly caught fire. I'm not able to find exactly which one it is, but another military installation. And then you have things like this. This was yesterday, Mark Levin. It's time to militarily attack Iran. It's time. It's time. It's just like, what? No, it's time to start a war. It's time, guys. Hey, guys, I'm looking at my watch here. It's looking like it's time to war. It's wartime. It's time to start fighting Iran, everybody. Yeah, the Winter Olympics are starting in Italy, I understand. Yeah, it's a spiral. It's nothing abnormal about a spiral, right? It's not like that's a internationally recognized. Wait, I think it's a swastika. Hold on. Is that a swastika? Oh, my God. The anti-Semites have done it again. Now, the Olympic rings were, in fact, designed by Adolf Hitler, so that's kind of interesting. It's all very interesting, these anti-Semites who run the world. The world is run by anti-Semites. They control the media. We need a final solution to the anti-Semite problem. Mark Levin, it's time to militarily attack Iran. It's time, everybody. It's time. It's time to militarily attack Iran. If we can't get our military assets fully in place in 5 weeks to attack Iran, a regime with virtually no Navy or Air Force or massive internal unrest, then we have a very serious problem. After all, we're not talking about China or Russia. It's this type of stuff. Now, Mark Levin is not Israeli. He's American. Why is he demanding that we constantly fight Iran? And he's not even pretending that it's for America anymore. It's just, it's time. It's time to attack Iran. We got to do it right now. And frankly, if you can't do it, you kind of suck. He's basically like, if you can't attack Iran right now, like, what is wrong with you? You're that bad at this that you can't attack Iran. We got no reason to, buddy. It's time. It's time, guys. It's time to attack Iran. Look at that. It's 4:12 and 55 seconds Central Standard Time. Guess we got to go to war. It's time now. Is this going to work? Is that working? Does anybody read this and they're like, you know, I was against war in Iran before, but I didn't realize that it was time. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that according to Mark Levin, it is now time to go to war with Iran. See, I thought I was against it because of the quagmires we keep getting involved in, because it literally has nothing to do with us, does not benefit us, they don't threaten us. It's purely and 100% for the state of Israel. So I'm not really in favor of it, but according to Mark Levin, it is now time. So very convincing, very well done. So why is it time? Why is now the time, folks? Now's the time because the American government, occupied by what you could call Israel, has spent the last year or so using every power in our playbook to bring Iran to the brink of destruction. Again, not for our benefit. It has nothing to do with us. In fact, I didn't grab the video, but another character from my Eighth Front video, the anti-Semitism czar, who, by the way, he's an American citizen. He was born in America. He apparently represents all Jewish people in America. He has been given ambassadorial rank inside America. So we just now grant members of the Jewish community diplomatic immunity so they can do their business. What? But he's going around bragging about using American power to benefit the Jewish community exclusively, doing things like saying, going to Ireland and saying, you have to shut down your BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanction movement, or else we're going to sanction Ireland. So using the incredible economic power and influence of the United States to get Ireland to stop boycotting Israel, just like we go after the ICC when they charge him with charge Netanyahu with crimes there. Yehud Copeland, that's the one. And I got a video on this, clip 51. This is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, lifelong a New York liberal, worked his entire career directly under George Soros, by the way. Here's him bragging about doing something that you really only heard about in like Alex Jones documentaries 15 years ago. Like that, what you're about to hear the Treasury Secretary say is the type of stuff that is supposed to be revealed in a congressional hearing 10 years after the fact, and it becomes a giant scandal and everybody involved, you know, gets like thrown in jail or dishonorably discharged. But the world has been changed so much that Scott Bessent is now bragging about doing this, and it's being treated like a good thing. Let's watch.
The Treasury, and what we have done is created a dollar shortage in the country. At a speech at the Economic Club of New York in March, I outlined the strategy. It came to a swift and I would say grand culmination in December when one of the largest banks in Iran went under. There was a run on the bank. The central bank had to print money. The Iranian currency went into free fall, inflation exploded, and hence we have seen the Iranian people out on the street. We will continue monitoring all the partners, all the Iranian partners. The good news, Senator, is that we have seen, and we can see it, with our fencing.
So like, So you're bragging about that? He's literally like, yeah, you know, We destroyed Iran. We destroyed their currency. They're, now we've caused riots in the street. And so now, you know, now we got to go to war with them. So now they're mistreating the rioters that we created by our sanctions. And it's like, but what did Iran do to us? But why are we doing this to them? What is the excuse of doing something which, just by the very nature of, you know, economic downturns, probably killed a whole bunch of people, definitely put millions and millions of random Iranians in dire straits. For what? Honestly, what have they done to us? Rats leaving the ship, Bessent says of Iranian capital flight. We've seen the Iranian leadership wiring money out of the country like crazy, the U.S. Treasury Secretary told senators. It's like, this does not make sense from an American perspective. Iran has not done anything to us, as far as I can tell. I don't know. I can't think of anybody they've killed. Anything that you would say that they're doing is like, not a bad thing. It's like, well, they sell weapons to Russia. It's like, okay, why did America start the Ukrainian war with Russia? Like, what are we doing here? What did Iran ever do to us? I honestly want to know. Because the answer is nothing. The answer is America has absolutely no interest in Iran. As far as I can tell, again. Now, if you're claiming that it's like about the freedom of the people, is I just don't believe you, frankly. And like to get into, guys, you can grab the video from yesterday from Marco Rubio. Because Marco Rubio is going to meet with this Iranian in Oman. And the Iranians are like, we're not interested because it's supposed to be about nuclear talks. And they want to, you know, Rubio and the Israeli Americans want to, you know, change the topic of discussion. And it's just like, why are we doing this for them? Why is this the entire focus of our entire government? Which, again, this is why it's important to actually talk about this. Like, I don't want to spend all day, all show on the Israelis or the Jewish diaspora. But if we don't talk about it, we're going to have to keep talking about it. You understand? Like, we got to actually confront this stuff and then make choices that take it into account. And then we can no longer be suffering under the control of a bunch of psychos who have a hard-on for bombing Iran to death and aren't even bothering to try to justify it through Americanism anymore. It's so insulting. Like, our power, our economic strength, wielded by Scott Bessent to destroy the economy of Iran, to spark riots, to get leverage when we negotiate with them, to try to get them to give up their ballistic missiles because their ballistic missiles are a threat to Israel. And it's like, where is the benefit for America in any of this? And how is it that the Treasury Secretary is just simply now bragging about doing this to a country that we're not at war with and that hasn't done anything to us? It's so evil. Here's Marco Rubio talking about, you know, where the negotiations with Iran are going to begin. Let's watch.
As far as the topic of those discussions and what the agenda needs to be, look, I think in order for talks to actually lead to something meaningful, they will have to include certain things. And that includes the range of their ballistic missiles. That includes their sponsorship of terrorist organizations across the region. That includes the nuclear program. And that includes the treatment of their own people.
So that's the requisite to start talks. Okay, so we're not going to start talks until you agree to completely disarm yourself, is what he's saying. He's like, if talks are going to happen, you know, it's got to be ballistic missiles and, you know, how you treat your own people. And it's basically like, hey, for us to even start talks, you're going to have to just completely disarm yourself, leave yourself totally defenseless as a starting point. And then we'll come to some sort of agreement. Like, oh, why? Because have you promised them if they give up their ballistic missiles, then you'll treat them nicely? Do you think they're going to buy that? See, we've talked about this before. The fact is, our unwillingness to ever break from Israel, our, frankly, slave-like dependence on Israel in the Middle East, has actually left us incapable of negotiating with Iran. Because time and time again, we will promise somebody something, Israel will double cross that person, then we protect Israel. It happened with Qatar and the Hamas negotiators. We set up an agreement, we set up a meeting to negotiate the ceasefire. They, you know, the Hamas people came to the meeting that America set up, and then Israel killed all of them. How do you think negotiations are going to go next time? They're probably not going to happen. If you want Iran to actually come to the table and actually make agreements in good faith, then you have to stop stabbing in the back constantly. You have to stop making agreements with them and then breaking that. You have to stop menacing them constantly, relentlessly, forever. But this is all in a world in which diplomacy is actually a goal. America is ruled by Israelis who want to destroy Iran, and that's all they're trying to do. And that's all they're going to try to do. And any off-ramp to that eventual conclusion is going to be ignored, as in their suicidal drive to start World War III, so they can finally be done with needing America, because that's what it's all about. And we can go on and on about this, but again, I mean, if we don't deal with this problem, I don't see how we deal with any other problem, quite frankly. And we can't keep going on this. I don't know, I got other stuff to get into as well, but clearly, we are still pushing for war with Iran for absolutely no discernible reason. And it ain't Israelis that are pushing for it. It's the Mark Levins amongst us. Let's go to clip 68 here. I think we just have time to do this. One of the greatest to ever do it, Mark Dice, attended a city council meeting yesterday, and it's gone totally viral. One of the greatest, most consistent content creators in the right wing, Mark Dice. Let's watch.
Next, we have Mark Dice. Thank you. I'm Professor Mark Dice. I teach intercultural communication at California State University and also conduct corporate training seminars with Fortune 500 companies about diversity, equity, and inclusion, or anti-racism in layman's terms. And I just want to go over a few things because, as I'm probably sure you heard, a lot of people are pushing back and opposing critical race theory, the Republicans and the conservatives. So first of all, if anybody starts asking if critical race theory is taught in the schools or applied in corporate America and they seem to be against it, just insinuate that that person is a racist. Most white people are so defensive, if you simply ask them if they're racist because they don't want to be labeled one, that they'll usually shut up, or insinuate that maybe one of their ancestors owned slaves or that their grandfather was in the KKK. That'll usually get them to stop, because we've been making such tremendous progress, but it's time to double down because people are really waking up. We've been able to convince most white people that there's a white privilege problem in America, despite few people knowing that actually Asians have the highest income, numerous Asian groups, Chinese, Japanese, even some Indian Americans from India, not Native Americans. And also, you know, nobody really talks about this, thankfully, but they are starting to wake up that white people are a minority in California and Hawaii and Texas and soon to be numerous other states, Nevada, Georgia, and Maryland as well. And if people start to figure that out, that's going to really undermine our agenda, because how are we supposed to paint them as an oppressor class that are keeping down the poor minorities when, in fact, you know, the white people are minorities in half a dozen states and growing, like I said. So if anybody asks anything like that, just tell them that's a Fox News talking point. That's something that Tucker Carlson mentions. Nobody will really pay much attention to them from that point. And despite people starting to wake up to this agenda, we have been having a lot of success with the media.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love seeing how uncomfortable they get. Like, is he supposed to be saying this? I don't know if he's supposed to be saying this. Mark Dice. Again, one of the best to ever do it. Go follow him on YouTube, at Mark Dice. He's on X as well, at Mark Dice. We got to get him on again. He's always pumping out great stuff and has been one of probably the most consistent voice on the right for the entirety of the time that he's been on here. So we got a lot more videos to go to in the next segment. We're going to be joined by Matt Baker in the third hour, but not the Matt Baker you're thinking. This is Matt with three T's, Baker, and he's a country singer of renown and is going absolutely viral these days. But I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And folks, we are getting close to the end here at InfoWars. I don't know how much I can tell you, but if you watch the Alex Jones Show, you've heard him make reference to this. And I can tell you we got some big, big things working behind the scenes. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but it really is going to be a metamorphosis once we are eventually led to the guillotine and have our head chopped off. Won't it be a surprise when, instead of dying, we morph into something even more powerful? That is absolutely what's going to happen. And honestly, at this point, I think most of us at InfoWars are like, we're ready. We're ready to move on. We're ready to actually be out from under this wet blanket. But we've struggled and fought this long because it matters that they not be able to do to us what they're trying to do. It matters that we have fought them and not settled and not backed down. And at every one of their little manipulations to try to screw over the auction or rig the bankruptcy process, we have put in the work and the money and the effort to combat it. And we have held them off for this long, because it's important that we show them, when you try to destroy free speech through the legal system, Americans know how to fight back. We'll be right back, folks. To a mosque, gonna throw some rocks, tell the Ayatollah, gonna put you in a box. It's time.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in, and then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out, It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it murdered out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating. Limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest. It's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. But the last fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The skull crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom folding knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is packed. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones burnt orange folding knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones ring blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You get that video in, guys? Because, you know, I asked and they answered. I said, what is in it for us? Why are we still rattling the sabers with Iran? What's the point? And lo and behold, 10 minutes ago, Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee answered this question on TV, so we'll go to his answer. Maybe finally I can learn why it is that we have to spend all of our resources going after this country in the Middle East that hasn't bothered us. Let's watch.
Yeah, I don't sense that there is this panic going on. The Israelis are amazingly resilient people. They've come to know that they live in a very dangerous place, and there are people every day wake up trying to kill them. I wish Americans understood that. And when I say Americans, I wish Americans understood that the Iranians want to kill them. They've been saying for 47 years, death to America. A lot of Americans say, what happens in Iran doesn't affect me. Oh, yes, it does. Because they've been telling us for 47 years, if they ever had a long-range ballistic missile, they'd light that puppy up and send it straight to the United States. What we don't fully understand is how many Iranian operatives, maybe in the form of Hezbollah, got into our country through a very open border during the Biden years, how many of them are sleeper cells just standing by waiting on an order from Tehran to unleash holy hell against Americans? We simply don't know. But we know that Hezbollah is already in the Western Hemisphere in 12 Central and Southern South American states. They're not there because they want to go to Brazil's carnival. So let's get real clear. They are a global threat, not just a local threat.
Wait, what? Wait. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to hear a reason we had to go to war with Iran. I just heard a reason that we don't have a reason to go to war with Iran. He's like, if they ever developed a weapon that could actually hit us, they would use it. So, of course, we got to go to war with them. So if I can translate, what you're saying is they don't even have the ability to attack us, is actually what you're saying here. They don't have a nuclear weapon. They don't have a nuclear weapon delivery system. I think what you're saying is we're good, actually. We're safe from Iran. And in fact, the only reason we would have to fear Iran would be if we injected ourselves into a conflict that has nothing to do with us and started to fight Iran, then we would inspire backlash. It's funny that he says 47 years. Like, he's got an exact date to the time when Iran first started saying death to America. I wonder if it's been 47 years since the Iranian people overthrew the puppet government that America planted there in the 50s. Is that what it is? Is it because we injected ourselves into Iran in the first place that they started to hate us? And here we are 47 years later, but they haven't done anything in those 47 years. They haven't actually acted on any of that in the 47 years. But for those 47 years, we have been relentlessly in partnership with Israel, doing everything we possibly can to destroy them. Or the good guys. But we're supposed to be the good guys. Okay. Mike Huckabee is a traitor to this country. I'm amazed he's still ambassador. He was caught meeting with Pollock, the worst spy in American history, who was released by Trump, flew in Sheldon Adelson's private jet, or Miriam Adelson's private jet, was met on the tarmac by Netanyahu, kissed the Israeli ground when he got there. Jonathan Pollard. Dude that got, like, a lot of American CIA people killed. Mike Huckabee met with him in secret, and it was, like, discovered and leaked that he met with this guy. Like, Mike Huckabee is a traitor to this country, and he's still ambassador to Israel. And the best reason he can come up with for why we should go after Iran is because they don't like us, basically. That's it. They don't have an ability to attack us. They don't have an ability to make anything of that dislike that, by the way, is pretty well justified, well-founded, considering our relationship with Iran in the past. That's what we get now is, well, Iran chants death to America, so we have to go to war with them. That's dumb. I think that's very dumb. And I don't know what else there is to say about it. Like, I cannot believe it's gotten to this point. That, like, just don't even try. Just don't even try. It's actually better to take the Marco Rubio tactic of just being like, no, this is for Israel. No, we're not going to start negotiations until you say that your ballistic missiles can't reach Israel. Because it's Israel that we're protecting. It's Israel we're doing this for. Israel is a different state than America. I think I want to remind people of that. I mean, is this not the case? Like, is this not the central thing of all of this? Why isn't Trump doing what he should be doing? Because he's busy doing all this crap. Why are the people around him so terrible? Because they're all in this cabal and puppets of people in this cabal. I mean, is there another reason? I can't figure one out. So what are we going to do about this? Like, honestly, we shouldn't have to do anything. because our system should be responding in a different way. So our system isn't responding. I mean, this is like crisis time at this point. Because we can look to the UK and we can see how this should be responded to. UK police searching two properties linked to Peter Mandelson over Epstein investigation. British police say they're searching two properties linked to Peter Mandelson as part of their investigation into misconduct in public life, following revelations about the former UK ambassador to the US's links to disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. Since the US Justice Department's latest release of material related to Epstein, Mandelson has been accused of passing on market-sensitive government information that was of clear financial interest to Epstein in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. London's Metropolitan Police said Friday that its officers were carrying out search warrants at two addresses, one in the southern country of Wiltshire and one in Camden, a neighborhood in the north of the capital. The searches are related to an ongoing investigation into misconduct and public office offenses involving a 72-year-old man, said Haley Stewart, Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the MET. Mandelson, 72, has not been arrested and inquiries are ongoing, she said. Mandelson resigned from the Labour Party on Sunday and quit the House of Lords, the upper chamber of Britain's parliament, on Wednesday. CNN has been unable to contact Mandelson this week. The Mandelson scandal has plunged Keir Starmer's government into crisis and raised questions about the Prime Minister's political judgment. Starmer appointed Mandelson as ambassador last year despite his well-known friendship with Epstein, which continued after the financier was convicted in 2008 for soliciting prostitution of an underage girl. Mandelson had offered scant commentary to British media this week. Previously, he'd said, "I want to say loudly and clearly I was wrong to believe Epstein following his conviction and to continue my association with him afterwards. I apologize unequivocally for doing so to the women and girls who suffered." Two people believed to be police officers are pictured here arriving at the home of Peter Mandelson in London on Friday. Starmer fired Mandelson as ambassador in September following a previous release of Epstein files, which showed Mandelson had pinned a handwritten note for the financier's 50th birthday, describing him as, quote, "my best pal." The DOJ's latest release of Epstein files revealed that Mandelson, while serving as business secretary in the government of Prime Minister Gordon Brown, appeared to leak sensitive UK government information to Epstein as the country considered a raft of policy measures to aid its recovery from the 2008 financial crisis. Newly released emails from June 2009 showed that Mandelson forwarded Epstein a memo written for Brown, which advocated $20 billion of asset sales to help relieve Britain's debt burden and revealed Labour's tax policy plans. Bank statements from the DOJ's latest release also appear to show that Epstein paid a total of $75,000 into bank accounts linked to Mandelson between 2003 and 2004. Email exchanges also showed that the financier may have sent $10,000 to Ronaldo Avila da Silva, now Mandelson's husband, to help fund his osteopathy course. Addressing Parliament on Wednesday, Starmer said the revelations about Mandelson were beyond infuriating and that the former ambassador had lied repeatedly about his relationship with Epstein. "Mandelson betrayed our country, our parliament, and our party," he said. Starmer is under intense pressure to explain the vetting process uncovered about Mandelson's ties to Epstein before his appointment as ambassador a year ago. Following a public outcry, the government has agreed to release documents surrounding Mandelson's appointment. So we haven't seen even the beginning of this here in America. And we're not going to, because they control the system, because the people in the Epstein emails are the very people that would otherwise be empowered to go after them. So, again, I'm shocked that the UK is really showing us up on this, but they are in a very real way. This is one guy that had associations with Epstein as revealed in the files. He was immediately fired. It became a giant scandal. Starmer is being questioned for even, you know, agreeing to work with the guy. Meanwhile, Trump is sending people who are in the Epstein files to negotiate on behalf of Israel against Iran. So we haven't only not gotten the resignations. We haven't even, I mean, there's been like no real solid political scandal despite the wealth of connections in all of this. There's certainly not been any police kicking down the door of Epstein Associates as part of a wider investigation into their finances. And there's not going to be. There's never going to be. So what should we do about this? I really want to know. In a way, it's like suicidal for the mainstream establishment to not do something about this. This is a time where, like, they really need to prove their value and their worth. Right now, they're proving they're incapable or unwilling to go after some of the most egregious crap we've ever seen in our lives in black and white from the people involved. Yeah, we really need to do something about this. Again, it's not just the UK. Did Brussels interfere in Europe's election? Fallout spreads. The fallout from the U.S. Report on alleged EU interference is now spreading across Europe. And this, of course, was accelerated by the fact that Epstein was also involved in rigging politics across the European continent. And I guess we'll just, you know, sort of keep going with this. We got clip 52 here. This is in the UK. This is Nigel Farage saying what he thinks was behind Jeffrey Epstein. Let's watch.
National secrets. This is a potential breach of the Official Secrets Act. It involves the royal family. It involves senior members of government. And who knows, behind it all, maybe even Epstein could have been working for the Putin regime. I believe that this is bigger than Profumo.
He could have been working for the Putin regime. Okay, but he wasn't, though. He was working for the Jews. So what are we talking about? He was working for Israel and the Rothschilds. That's who he was working for, which are one and the same. Because this all goes back to the banking family, the Rothschilds. All of it. All of this goes right back to that. So I don't know. I mean, it's not all that complicated. But it's just like, why are so many people burning their own credibility trying to deny what is obvious and right in front of us? What do they not understand? Are people falling? I mean, I guess leftists, I mean, who knows the way they see the world? I bet they do think it's Putin. I mean, I do keep seeing people posting stuff from the Epstein files being like, he was a white supremacist. Like, okay. Okay, so we're never going to get out of this. So, okay, we're just never going to actually be able to deal with any of these issues, it seems. And I want to go to a video now that is a Super Bowl commercial that will be played this Sunday during the big game. Clip 65, Jewish billionaire Robert Kraft's Blue Square Alliance is one of these infinite number of groups paying millions of dollars to propagandize America. Of course, Robert Kraft, he's the commissioner of the NFL, right? Unless I'm crazy. Oh, the Patriots, that's right. So I was going to say it was the NBA commissioner that's in the Epstein files, saying, I don't wait in the lobby like a goyim. It looks like professional sports is sort of replete with these guys. Let's go to clip 65 here. This is a new Super Bowl commercial. Let's watch.
Dude.
Did you see that?
Should we challenge?
Go back.
Bro, look at him.
Oh my gosh.
Not funny. Stop.
Do not listen to that.
Thank you, man.
I know how it feels.
Guy's Jewish too? Oh, he's gay.
Nah. They're not worth it, bro.
He's gonna go beat him up?
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go hit on some white women.
What's your name?
Stand up to hate. You didn't put your backpack away, dummy. What are you doing? You get to class, you put your backpack. You didn't lock his locker. This doesn't make any sense. Yeah, this is the other big commercial. About just as convincing, I think. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, folks? Now, I don't necessarily think there's anything all that wrong about that commercial, like whatever. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what the agenda is here. You and me against Whitey, right? Us non-white people, we got to stick together against big bad Whitey. He's always putting notes on our backs. making us look like fools. Real subtle stuff there. Totally mind-blowing. Sad thing is it's going to actually impact. People are going to be like crying from that. Jeffrey Epstein wanted Robert Kraft to hire his lawyer amid Patriots owner's prostitution case, documents show. Well, that's anti-Semitic. I'm sorry, reporting on facts is anti-Semitic in this case. Please avoid. Please avoid doing that. I want to, you know, like I said, not necessarily anything wrong with that commercial. I just think, you know, the racial aspects are a little bit on the nose. No pun intended. I think it's a little bit, again, obvious, big bad white people hurting the poor innocent Jewish person until the black friend shows up and teaches, you know, the white people the way to be. Very, very powerful stuff. Very moving. But on the other hand, you know, this is the double-edged sword. This is the fulfillment of the strategy in that as you conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, and as you have examples of Jewish people doing bad things and the rest of the Jewish community coalescing around them to defend them, then you really do have examples of anti-Semitism that really do affect innocent people in middle school or high school or whatever. And, you know, you can find people online, I'm sure, that, you know, would genuinely be like, yeah, who cares? Like, you know, F them. But like, no, I don't want Jewish kids to be bullied in school for their ethnicity. I'm not actually in favor of that. And I'm not about to fall for, again, the false dichotomy that says you either are, you know, with the Zionist or you just like hate all Jews and want them all to be destroyed and harassed constantly. It's like, nope, not at all. Sick of Israel. I'm sick of the Epstein cabal trying to censor us because we're revealing facts about them. But yeah, kid in school shouldn't be bullied. I don't really have that big of a problem with what we just saw, other than, of course, the racial aspect. But let's compare that to the Christian advertisement from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I think it was either last year or 2024 when this commercial aired. I'm sure everybody remembers it. Clip number 66. I just want you to know, if you want to see if you can tell sort of the difference between these two commercials. Okay. Kid didn't even unlock his locker. This is pathetic. There's no information on the calendar in his locker. He doesn't even put his backpack away. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't think this really happened. All right, let's go to the commercial from a couple years ago. So, all right, commercial for Judaism basically saying, stop being mean to the Jews and signaling to black people, it's us against white people. Very sophisticated propaganda. Well done, Mr. Kraft. Now let's go to clip 66, and you can see the commercial for the other major religion in America. Let's watch. Remember this one? Remember this humiliation ritual? There you go. The cops have to clean the feet of the criminals. The decent popular girls have to clean the feet of the freaks. The guy who owns his land has to clean the feet of the people trespassing on it. The mom has to clean the feet of her slut daughter. Whatever hell's going on here. Oh, you gotta respect the climate change people trying to destroy your industry here. You gotta respect the migrants that oppose everything about your life but are moving in by the millions. It's so moving, so incredible. There you see the black man reaching out. He's so forgiving for what they've done to him. And there, of course, the piece de resistance, the flamboyant gay man having his feet washed by a priest, and then the line, Jesus doesn't teach hate, he washed feet. He gets us, all of us, Jesus. Love your neighbor. Okay. Are you sensing a bit of a difference here? Both of these commercials were made by people of the religions that they're talking about, right? Jewish one's made by Jews. I bet the Christian one's made by Jews too, but ostensibly it's from a Christian organization. The message to Jews in the first one was, you are a victim. Everybody secretly hates you and is laughing at you behind your back, and you got to get solidarity with the other non-whites to defeat them. We're stronger together. But you're the victim. Everybody hates you. Everybody's laughing at you behind your back. And you know, you got to find some. Meanwhile, the Christian one is subjugate yourself to the moral superiority of the modern day. Is you need to get on your knees because you're hateful for opposing any of these things. Now, I wonder, why didn't we see a little Jewish boy washing the feet of a Palestinian? Why are we not telling the Jewish people, stop hating? Would you stop hating already? I want to see a commercial of Jewish people in clearly Jewish garb washing the feet of Palestinians. And, you know, we can set it up like this one. You know, you can use AI. You know, it's got to be the whole setting. You've got the woman who's like on drugs and her kitchen is filthy. She's like cooking meth and stuff. So in this case, it'd be like a burned out rubble building, like a little kid with their arm missing, like gushing blood. They've been orphaned, and the Jew could be like washing their feet in that, you know, demented hellscape they created. Or like you could have him washing the feet of Nazis. You'd have like somebody in a Nazi uniform. You could have the Jew on the ground washing the boots of the Nazi. You know, to teach them not to hate, right? I mean, that's what you, because Christians have to be taught not to hate. Everything the Christians believe has to be taught as hate, and that opposing degenerate or self-destructive lifestyles is really because you hate the person. And the way to get over that is to be a slave to them, to subjugate yourself underneath them. See, the original message from Jesus when he washed the feet of his disciples, that was an inversion of roles. See, he was the boss. He was the authority. He was the king amongst them, and yet he got down on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. That's an inversion of authority that's sending a message and is serving as an example to leaders of men into the future. You're a king, you're a boss, you're a father of a family. Well, guess what? You're a servant to the people that you rule. What a powerful message to the authority about how they should conduct themselves. What's been portrayed in that video was people with the social superiority who are higher up on the hierarchy kissing the boots and washing the feet of people who routinely abuse them. So it's not a greater authority humbling themselves willingly to those who should otherwise be beneath them. No, it's telling you that it's virtuous to accept your subjugation. It's virtuous to accept your replacement and your subservience to the people who don't believe like you, don't like you, aren't you, and are viciously attacking everything that you are, where you live, what you believe. You're supposed to appreciate that and thank them for it and wash their feet as they abuse you and move into your country without permission or violate the genuinely held tenets of your faith. See, Jesus didn't teach hate. I'm going to see a commercial telling Jews not to hate people. Are we ever going to see that? Because we do see it for Christians.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff. And there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Why is it that so much of Netflix content for children promotes a transgender ideology? Almost half of your content for children, I'm talking about minor children now, I'm not talking about teenagers, minor children. Just 2 days ago, a jury in New York awarded a former transitioner $2 million because she said that her psychologists and others pressured her into, they pushed on her an ideology that proved to be extremely detrimental. In the UK, the National Health Service in the UK has said that they're not going to perform transgender surgeries or any longer so-called gender-affirming care for minors, including in counseling, because it is so incredibly detrimental. Our own HHS has come forward with similar findings this past year, yet if you turn on Netflix, you'll find that an enormous amount, and I say this as a parent with three young children, an enormous amount of your children's programming has this ideology and agenda in it. Is this an advocacy position for Netflix? Is this an ideological commitment you have? I mean, why is this?
Senator Ali, Netflix has no political agenda of any kind.
As you would see, if you looked at her and not her chart, Bailey is not a boy. And by treating her like one, you are completely ignoring who she is. You're making her feel insignificant and humiliated. And that's not going to help her feel good or safe or calm. So, from here on out, please recognize her for who she is. And if at all possible, could you find me a non-blue hospital gown?
Netflix's predatory gobbling up of Warner Brothers and an $82 billion merger designed to forge an unstoppable woke propaganda behemoth. Everything from Netflix's parade of gender-fluid fairy tales and climate hysteria.
There's just not as many bugs and animals in the park anymore because of climate change. And now the whole Earth's climate is changing because of things humans do, like making tons of emissions.
Yeah, it's making the whole Earth hotter than usual.
To Warner's legacy franchises twisting into vehicles for DEI indoctrination, to be put all under one roof to pump out endless narratives that erode family values. And the boomer wokesters aren't even aware of the lion's den they are entering.
So forgive me if I'm a little concerned, not only as a parent, but also that somebody believes that we ought to have a wide variety of content options. There are some, but the overwhelming majority of your stuff right now is overwhelmingly woke. And it's not reflective of what the American people want to see.
So respectfully, if you ask a Netflix member today, or a consumer today generally, how they view Netflix, I think that but a proof point that we might be doing the right thing is they talk about Netflix in the exact same terms as they talk about the country. About 40% conservative, about 40% liberal, and about 20% don't know.
Did you catch that? Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos thinks that the country is 40% conservative and 40% liberal and 20% just don't know. Well, the emerging Generation X population just surpassed boomers by 1 million.
Boomers respond with anger. Millennials respond with anxiety. And him?
Couldn't care less.
And according to a recent Gallup poll, a record high 45% of U.S. adults identified as political independents in 2025, surpassing the 43% measured in 2014, 2023, and 2024. Meanwhile, equal shares of U.S. adults identified as either Democrats or Republicans. Snap out of it. The psychological warfare isn't going to work anymore. A digital leviathan controlled by elite overlords in Silicon Valley and Hollywood is going to go down like the Hindenburg. Ted Sarandos has no clue what the American people actually want.
There are plenty of things an aftermarket vagina can do that a stock vagina cannot. Like destroy the fabric of Western civilization as we know it. Only my does that. Can murder the little baby Jesus before he even has a chance to start an apocalyptic death cult and ruin the world.
It was this very programming that ultimately woke up the sleeping giant. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globals have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm going to be joined very shortly by Jake Lang, who's been causing some trouble around the country, some very good trouble. You know what? It looks like we just have time. I'm going to pull a video in from yesterday because this story is, I guess it's not that crazy because it's kind of what we're used to. But the story is at futurism.com, and this came out during a congressional hearing yesterday about AI. It turns out that when Waymos are stumped, they get intervention from workers in the Philippines. And so, guys, I should have pulled it in. I thought we were going to go. Yeah, let's go to that. Again, it's crazy. It's crazy how we just cannot benefit from anything good. Like, we so often have some major, you know, technological advantage or something that only comes about because of American ingenuity, American prosperity, American, you know, just everything American, and then it just is immediately weaponized against us. It's so unbelievably infuriating. Let's watch.
Yes or no, does Waymo employ humans located remotely to help its vehicles navigate difficult driving scenarios?
Senator, they provide guidance. They do not remotely drive the vehicles. As you stated, Waymo asks for guidance in certain situations and gets an input, but the Waymo vehicle is always in charge of the dynamic driving task. So that is just one additional input.
But the human being helps the vehicle to navigate those difficult driving scenarios. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, are all of these human operators located in the United States? Are they all here?
No, we have some in the U.S. and some abroad.
So how does that break down? What percent are abroad?
Senator, I don't have that number for you. We can get back to you.
Is it a majority or abroad?
I just don't have that number.
Well, that's very curious that someone who's running the program has no idea how that workforce breaks down. It just seems kind of curious that you don't know that answer. But are some of these operators located outside the United States?
Yeah, some are located abroad.
Yeah, and so for me, that's fairly shocking. Waymo has critical safety employees who may need to intervene in a split second if a Waymo encounters an unknown dangerous situation located in the United States, but they are outside the United States. In what countries are these employees located?
The Philippines.
Excuse me?
The Philippines.
So they are in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Mr. Pena, that is completely unacceptable. And here's why. Having people overseas influencing American vehicles is a safety issue. The information the operators receive could be out of date. It could introduce tremendous cybersecurity vulnerabilities. We don't know if these people have U.S. driver's licenses. And let's not forget, Waymo is trying to replace the jobs of hardworking taxi and rideshare drivers. And now you're saying that of the human beings, the human jobs that remain in the system, you're shipping those jobs overseas. It's one thing when a taxi is replaced by an Uber or a Lyft. It's another thing when the jobs just go completely overseas.
And that, I mean, there's lots of things that's wrong with this, but that I think is the real thing that's really wrong. Like, why not pay somebody in America? This is, again, it's like these companies take so much advantage of us and we just never demand anything back. Like, how about you have to make jobs for Americans? What the hell? You got to go to Philippines. You got to shave off $2 an hour from your billions of dollars of profit. You can't afford to pay somebody in Macon, Georgia, rather than the frickin' Philippines. It's infuriating because these are jobs that right now are filled by necessity by people in America. A lot of taxi drivers aren't exactly American. A lot of Uber drivers aren't American anyway. But at least it's a job here. Okay, you replace with a robot taxi, but you replace one job, but people got to look after the robot. You got to build the robot. Here's the problem. The company's not American. The cars are made in China. They're operated by people from the Philippines. It's literally not benefiting America whatsoever, even in the slightest. And that's not even to mention the security threats of this, where you've got some anonymous person in the Philippines who might not even speak English, has never been to America, doesn't know how to read American road signs, but they're instructing the car of what to do. They make the wrong decision and the car crashes, which is what happened, which is what, you know, led to this hearing. A Waymo vehicle crashed into somebody last week, struck and injured a child near Santa Monica, California elementary school, triggering a federal probe. Is what some dude in the Philippines maybe made the wrong decision, caused a child to be run over and clocks out for the day. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And as the senator notes, overseas remote assistance operations may be more susceptible to physical takeover by hostile actors, potentially granting them driver-like control of thousands of vehicles transporting passengers on American roads. He said in a statement, heavy and fast-moving vehicles can quickly become a weapon of foreign actors seeking to harm innocent Americans. So the whole thing, we're just being screwed at every level. And it's just, I guess, just a fact of the world now. It's just like every time we get some new technological development, which ostensibly should be able to perform some physical task for us and take the burden off our shoulders, somehow it becomes harder for us. Somehow everything becomes more difficult for us every time they introduce some new convenience. It's infuriating, but constant. All right, with that, I want to go to clip number 12 here. Clip number 12. This was a ice statue that was apparently put up by some veterans, and it's an ice statue. It's made out of ice, but it says prosecute ice. But our friend Jake Lang wasn't going to let that happen. Let's watch.
President Trump, we support you. We support ICE. Our country was made for Americans, not for Somalis.
So there you see the prosecute ICE sculpture in front of the Capitol building. And Jake Lang takes a boot to a couple of the letters and eventually leaves it with just the letters P-R-O, then a big gap, and then ICE. So he's turned prosecute ICE into pro-ICE.
Pro-ICE, baby! America first! America only! We'll see you here February 7th, Saturday, 12 noon, outside the Minnesota State Capitol.
All right, so that's the Minnesota State Capitol. Jake Lang is a dedicated conservative activist, podcaster, and Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Florida, running in the 2026 special election to represent the people of the Sunshine State. Jake Lang, thank you so much for joining us.
Harrison, just got out of jail. You're my first interview, brother. God bless. America's worth fighting for. Never back down. Never surrender.
Did you get arrested for breaking that stupid sculpture?
I was charged with felony vandalism over $1,000 for some stupid letters made of water that is frozen. They said it was worth $6,250. So I am facing 1 to 5 years. And the George Soros prosecutors, these Democrats, are not playing. We know Minnesota, and they're going to try to come after me for the maximum penalty. I could spend 5 years in prison for demonstrating that ISIS should not be on the chopping block. You know, no pun intended. But when I see prosecute ICE, I see execute ICE. You know, these rabid Antifa are openly saying that they want to kill ICE. And when you have a sign that says prosecute ICE on the steps of the Minnesota State Capitol, it's basically a dog whistle telling every Antifa and rabid leftist that ICE is on the chopping block, that you can go and harass them, try to run them over your cars and kill them. So I felt that I needed to make a statement and say this prosecute ICE business, because we know when the Democrats take back over, they're coming after Trump. They're coming after the J6ers. They're coming after ICE. They're going to try to put us all in jail. We know it. That's why we got to put them in jail, because they're traitors to our country. But that sign needed to be taken down because it's putting law enforcement officers' lives at risk every single second that it was up.
I mean, I agree with that. And I think it's a very dirty move that they're doing now, basically trying to undermine and subvert the loyalty of ICE by basically saying that whatever you do now, if you actually take this job and actually follow lawful orders, we're going to throw you in jail. And I mean, you've got Larry Krasner, DA of Philadelphia, saying we're going to hunt you down for decades. We'll find your identity and hunt you down. When these people are literally following constitutional orders and enforcing constitutional law, it is why are they allowed to do this? Jake, like, why are we allowing these people to do this?
It's a two-tier system of justice, Harrison. It's still in place. This is the biggest example. They've charged me with a felony 1 to 5 year criminal charge. But how about in Minnesota when they took down the statue of Christopher Columbus? They only got community service. So we're seeing a disparagement, unequal protection under the law. If you're a Trump supporter, if you're white, if you're Christian, if you're a Republican and you do anything, even stand up for law enforcement like I did against that disgusting signage, then they're going to try to put you away for many years of your life. But if you tear down one of our nation's founders, a statue of them, you're going to be celebrated. They're going to throw you a parade, and then they're going to give you community service, a little slap on the wrist. The two-tiered system of justice, the deep state weaponization is still here. We need President Trump to stand up and double down on the mass immigration messaging. We cannot start to pull away now. We need millions of immigrant deportations of these illegal immigrants per year. We can't just start to pull away and say, it's only the criminals. We'll only go into certain cities if they let us in. No, screw that. America, we have one generation left, and we need a crusade now before we're all replaced. All of us, black, white, all of us will be replaced by foreigners from third world countries that don't give a shit about our heritage. They don't give a shit about our freedoms, and they will take our jobs. They will take our houses, and they will leave us in the dirt and throw us in jail. I cannot be more serious about this. Americans, it's time to rise. Get active. Join the Crusaders Active Club today. If you want to join my Crusaders Active Club, we have hundreds of members, chapters being set up right now in all 50 states. DM me on social media, at Jake Lang, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Send me a DM right now, and you can join. Free to join. You get invited to all of our protests, and we can stand together as men against this scourge of evil that is taking over our country.
Well, what do we do, man? Because it's everything is so insane right now. These people are allowed to just they keep pushing it and pushing it, and the Republicans are not stepping in. Trump is talking about backing down and having a softer touch on illegal immigration. It's the exact wrong thing to do right now. It feels like he's throwing the midterms for some reason, even though at the same time they're acting like they're going after fraud in California and stuff. Where is the seriousness? Where is the resolve? Where is the Trump that we voted for in 2024? And what do we do to get this back on track, man?
Well, I love President Trump. I stand by President Trump 10,000%, but we need to lead from the front, right? It's we the people. This is our government, our constitutional republic, and we need to set the precedent. If we want to see change, we have to be the change. That's why we are allowed the freedom of association. That's why the founding fathers put the Second Amendment right to form militias in our constitution, because it, at the end of the day, the onus of a man and the responsibility of a man is to take action. And that's why I formed together these groups of crusaders, Christian men, white, black. We've got all kinds of different men with us now standing against rabid Marxist liberals, these fraudster Somalis, and all of these illegal immigrants that are taking our jobs and robbing our country blind. If you want to get active, we are an active club. We're not tweeters. We're not podcasters. We are not people who sit on our ass. If you want to be active in the streets, protesting, doing civil disobedience, boycotts, whatever it takes to take our country back, Join, align with me. Join in with your brothers. Your Christian brothers are willing to stand. You have to make the choice. Are you willing to watch your country be taken by Somali daycare scammers, billions of dollars robbed from you, your country's future taken from you, or are you going to stand like a man and do something about it? I, for one, I'll go to jail. I'll eat balled up newspaper with tartar sauce on it in solitary confinement the rest of my life. It does not matter to me. We need to make a stand. My life is worth giving for this country. Freedom is worth dying for. Our founding fathers signed a document. They put their sacred lives, their honor, their property, all their value they had on the line when they did that. And it's time men get together again and put our lives on the line.
You know, I agree to a certain degree. And, you know, you have paid your dues. The stuff you've been through from January 6th, being put in solitary confinement, people have questions about you. I know you're aware of them. People think that you're just trying to cause trouble to, you know, cause distractions or whatever else. Nobody goes through, you know, what you went through to pretend, right? So I think it's ridiculous to sort of question your bona fides. I think you absolutely believe what you say. My question is, what do we do? What is the purpose of going out? Like, what are we trying to achieve? Because you've got stuff like this. Elisa Slotkin will not consent to FBI interview over video in which she urged military personnel to not comply with illegal orders. Whether it's the senators calling for the army to disobey orders, or whether it's the Somalis that have been brought over here by the millions, it's like, I, as an individual, I can't do much about that. I can't punish Elisa Slotkin. You see what I'm saying? We need institutional power. We need political power. How do we achieve that? And how does what you do get us towards that end?
Listen, it all takes is one domino. You have to be inspirational. We need to start to get men out on the streets again. These No King protests, and actually today, I'm going to announce this the first time. I haven't announced it anywhere. I've only talked about it with some of the few higher-ups in the militia networks that I know. We will be announcing very soon the One King protest. All 50 states, every single state capital, if you believe Jesus Christ is the one true king of America and you're tired of these no king Marxist liberals that are out to destroy our country, we are going to join together in the hundreds of thousands and the millions, and we will be standing together. This is how you start to build political revolution, by getting people out onto the streets, getting people active, off their couches, off the, you know, endless doom scrolling bullshit, the goy slop, and into the streets, standing like men and showing your dominance. The reason the Muslims put their prayer rugs out onto our busy street corners is because it's a humiliation domination ritual. They're trying to mark their territory here in America. Well, American men, white men, Christian men, Trump supporters, it's time to mark our territory in America. We need to stand. Stand now. Join me, brothers. I could not be more serious. I just spent the night in jail, light on 24/7. They're trying to throw me in there with the Somali gangs to get me killed. All kinds of Antifa prison guards. Some patriots, a lot of patriot prison guards too, had my back. But these people are not kidding. They want you and your family dead. They want to replace us, Harrison, and we will not allow them to be replaced. We will not allow our families to be replaced. It is imperative we start to get active now, because if we start to lose the midterms and we lose 2028, the onus of freedom for the next generation will rely on us. And we need to get active and start to build these networks now while we have political power.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And look, if there's one thing I can say, you actually have the right attitude in terms of the severity of the problem that we're facing. The real threat that we're under is as extreme exactly as you lay it out, and we're sort of being attacked from all sides here. So I guess for me, it's like I'm like hyper focused on, if we're going to do a protest, let's do it at the White House. Let's get messages to Trump, because it seems like Trump is being misinformed. He's being led down the primrose path. People are telling him, oh, it's great. You do this over here, and don't worry about Epstein. They're just trying to get you, and just ignore it. It's like, dude, your enemies are vulnerable. Why aren't you going after them? What do you think about that? What do you think about going and doing a protest for like Fire Susie Wiles?
Listen,
or
We build the numbers now, then we crusade on our pedophile overlords. It's imperative we build numbers, structure, network, and start to flex our muscles here. And then when the real crusade starts, Harrison, you won't need to log on to Twitter. You'll open up your window and you'll see men waving American flags, taking our country back. Because we know the book of Revelation. We know the way this world goes. It's a fallen world full of sin. So us righteous men of God, men that have conviction, men that care about children being blood sacrificed to Baal and murdered and all this pedophilic international banking cartel nonsense. We stand now. Let's get our numbers together. Let's get strong. Let's get active. Crusaders Active Club is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the afraid. This is for bold men that have been called by God to stand against evil in every corner and every facet. And we need to stand against this replacement of the American native population. And we need to stand against the pedophilic overlords of our country. Let's start to build the movement. I'm out here every day. Tomorrow, it's actually a second announcement. It's about to go up on my Twitter right now. The post is already writ. And as soon as I'm off this interview, tomorrow, I will be outside the Whipple Federal Building. Whipple Federal Building, which is the ICE headquarters in Minnesota. That's where all of the fireworks happens there. That's where all the lefties protest ICE. I will be outside the Whipple Federal Building for a press conference tomorrow, 12 noon. More details to come. But guys, get logged in on our social medias. Send the DM. Get vetted. Get into our group chats, get into your local chapter, your local state militia, the Crusaders militia, and get active. It is time to put the phones down and pick up your, you know what to pick up, and get active, boys. It is time. The American Crusade is here.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's so pathetic, the fact that we can't muster a crowd like the left can. I mean, the left, they're all idiots, obviously, and most of them don't have jobs, so that makes it easy, but still, it's like the numbers, they get out on the street, and Republicans, there's more of us than there are of them, we just don't get active.
I'm gonna ask you a question. Harrison, let me push back on you here with the comments about pathetic. When I throw my protests and when I hold my demonstrations, are you actively promoting them? Are you retweeting my stuff? Are you making your own content saying, we need patriots standing side by side with Jake? Did you call for brothers to stand with me at the city hall 2 weeks ago when I was lynched? Because we have no right to complain about the numbers that are showing up to these patriotic events unless we are full-throatedly standing behind the leaders of these organizations. So I have a question for you. Have you been calling upon people to join me, or have you been, you know, complaining that we don't have numbers while not doing what you need to do? Because you have a huge platform. You're a very famous man. So it is incumbent upon you to stand behind patriots who are out on the street. If you're not going to be on the street, you're going to be in the podcast studio. You have to help support us, brother. And I know you brought me on your program now. I'm very grateful for that. But we need to be active. We need to start pushing and funneling. You see Tommy Robinson's 3 million man march, which I was blessed enough to speak at in England. All of the English influencers, all the English patriots are standing behind him. It's time we have an American version of that and we start to sew up like the left does. I don't care if you don't like that I say a couple words that are offensive. I'm not talking to you specifically, but anybody. The message is we need to take our country back. And if the certain leadership rises up that's willing to do it, then we disagree on a few points. Somebody that's, you know, you disagree with 10% on is not 10% your enemy, but 90% your friend. So I'm calling upon you, Harrison. Call upon InfoWars, my brother Alex Jones. We need massive action. We need you guys to support us wherever we are, whenever we're there. We need you guys to be calling upon patriots to join us. Or next time I'm lynched, next time there's only a couple dozen patriots show up, you can't complain about it if you're not willing to do something about it, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but frankly, I think it's a matter of organization and communication, because I often don't know these things are happening until afterwards. So, of course, I talk about them and show the videos. And of course, like now, I'm telling people that tomorrow you got an event at the Whipple Building, and you can tell people how to find that. But absolutely, I encourage people to go out and get involved. I just want you to be safe. I think I said it to you on X. We need institutional control, not martyrs. So yeah, as long as that patch is still valid, I'm happy. Jake Lang, follow.
Listen,
Jake Lang on X.
The
Jake
martyr thing, that's like saying cisgender. It's bullshit. It's called bravery, right? You can label anybody anything you want, but the reason why George Washington, our founding father, stood up and did stuff, not because they wanted to be martyrs, because they wanted to secure liberty for the next generation. And, you know, if you put your life on the line to do that, I guess you call that a martyr, but I'm just a man who wants to change my country.
Jake Lang lives to fight another day.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I've made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones backup network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, you things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexshowstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexshowstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexshowstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Before they put out your lights, one more hit of the dream, let it burn real slow, deep
folks,
state.
That was the first breakout hit of our next guest. You may think you know him, you don't. His name's Matt Baker, but he's not Matt Baker you know. No, he's that Matt Baker's cousin. It's Matt Baker with three T's, so as not to be confused with his much less impressive and charismatic cousin with the same name. He's a musician, an artist, and a patriot, known for his work as the front man for the Matt Baker and the Black Pillars. His first hit song, Smoking Hopium, you just heard there. His latest release is called Taxes to Pedophiles, and it's skyrocketing to the top of the charts. There are our own charts, but they count. He has worked in collaboration with many people, including QAnon Shaman, Luke Slywaker, Morgan Ariel, and Thomas Massey. His goal is to revive the outlaw country sound, focusing on the most outlawed thing in the world, which is the truth. Let's go now to his latest hit. You can find and share this on his X account at slave_2_liberty. It's called Taxes to Pedophiles, now available on all platforms like Spotify and streaming. And if you want to use this in your videos, you can license it from him. We'll find out how in just a second. Here it is, his latest hit, Taxes to Pedophiles.
Out on the edge, hear the Milky Way's arm. There's a hardworking man working hard on his farm. The so-called stars, how they play their games. There's a dark little secret that's calling their names. Epstein's Island, hidden away from our view, where the powerful gather, doing what they do. On the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, there's a parasite sucking the blood of humanity. No one knows when it started, but it's sure.
I can't help it. And there's Thomas Massey on the fiddle. Matt Baker, you've done it again. Welcome to the show, sir.
Harrison Smith, man, it is an absolute honor to be on the show with you. I mean, InfoWars is an incredible inspiration to all of us out here, man. Out here in deep space listening to the InfoWar. Y'all help wake me up, man. I mean, I've been listening to Alex Jones since I was a little kid, man. I mean, I was listening to him when he was making movies, you know, before even I knew he was on the air. Heard about the 9/11 and what was going on with that man, and he called that thing to a T, man. It put chills in my spine knowing that he called that out, man, down to Bin Laden and the World Trade Center. Not only that, what the amount of people he saved during COVID, you know, so many people that didn't take the shot, including yours truly and my cousin. The ugly cousin, man. People say we look alike, man, but I got to tell you, man, that guy is an ugly mofo, man.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
He looked like he crawled out the hind end of something, man. I mean, I look good, man. You know, I'm about a foot taller and a couple of inches longer, if you get my drift.
Well, look, there's got to be some secret behind your massive success. I mean, you've risen like a rocket in the recent past. Obviously, the music is powerful, but the look goes into it. What inspired you to write these songs? I mean, wouldn't it have been easier just to avoid these topics entirely? I mean, you could have had a career on the road, probably opening up for some pretty big acts if you'd stuck to the old country songs about your truck and your dog. Well, why you got to ruffle the nest? Why you got to cause so many problems? Wouldn't it be easier to just stick with the classics?
No, man. I mean, this is the heart of country music, man. I mean, outlaw country, man, that was always about, you know, what you weren't allowed to do because, man, screw the man if they don't want you to smoke weed or they don't want you, you know, shooting guns, man. That's an outlaw country sound. Now, the thing is, in this day and age, I mean, weed's legal, sex is legal, hell, everything's legal. You can cut your goddamn ding-a-ling off and they'll celebrate you, man. But you know what the only thing that is really and truly outlawed right now, Harrison? And that is the truth. And the God's honest truth is the most outlawed thing in this world. And that's why as a country singer and as an artist, I feel necessary to spread my word out there and to get the truth, the real truth and nothing but the truth, brother.
You know, your timing for this song, really impeccable. Obviously, it coincided with the release of the Epstein files. Was that intended or was that just a happy coincidence?
Well, you know, it's crazy that you asked me that, Harrison, because I was actually working on this a while ago, almost 2 months ago, you know, and I was pecking away at it. You know, I was honing down them verses, man. And I got to a point where I was getting close, man, but it was just still kind of on the back burner, you know, And then the Epstein files drop, man, 3 million files, man, an unbelievable amount of information about these goddamn pedophiles running the world, man. And they're pissing in our faces right now. So I got in the studio, man, and I put in hours. And, you know, Thomas Massie, man, he was an absolute doll the whole time, man. He's a busy dude. And, you know, he picked up the melody real quick. You know, Morgan Oriel on the drums, she's great, you know. And Luke Slywaker, man, he plays a mean bass, man. But while I'm giving shout outs, I want to do this before I forget, because I know we don't have too much time. There's a friend of mine, another artist, a group of people that they're on Twitter. They're called America AF. Now, they make these wooden signs, and I believe Owen Schroer's got one of their flags. They make real true Americana. They make them with their bare hands. America AF, that's Deborah and Flip. And the reason why I'm bringing them up, not only because they are American patriots who are actually at J6, they're called the J6 couple, but they're spending their time making real Americana art, you know, putting their life and their soul into it. But the real reason is I want to shout out to their daughter, Vera. Okay. She's a young lady and she's going through a lot of trouble right now. And she ended up in the hospital, man. She was thinking about doing the worst, if you get my drift. And, Flip called me and he called a lot of other patriots. She's a huge fan of you and she's a huge fan of Alex and me. She just got tickled by us, sending her a couple of videos and let her know that we're thinking about her and she's important and she's special, you know, cause like I told her, if you're not feeling weird in this world, man, then there's something wrong with you. When you wake up in the morning and you realize your world is run by a bunch of goddamn pedophiles and it's not good enough for them to screw the kids, they're going to charge you for it. They're going to tax you for it. They're going to take your money and then they're going to kill people around the world. And then they're going to ruin your reputation and call that America's out there killing when they're fighting these Jewish wars. Now I heard you bringing up the Jews a lot, which is quite fitting. Now I'm not a big anti-Semite, but man, these guys are out of control right now and it's too much, man. During COVID, I was calling out Anthony Fauci because he was the one trying to lock me up and tell me I can't talk and stealing my YouTube channel. And now the one who's doing that to me is these Jews. And that's what they call themselves. I'm not calling them a pejorative term. This is the name they give themselves. This is the name that the chosen people, right? Now, here's the thing. I heard you talking earlier and you know, people used to hate on white people or they've got this thing, you know, white people and slavery and all. But it turns out that a lot of the slavery action was actually being run and produced by the Jews back then. And that doesn't really matter. We as white people, when they talk about slavery, we have rejected it. We are wholeheartedly, whole hog rejected that notion. And even the people who want America first aren't talking about enslaving other people. That is not our deal. That is not our gig. And hell, it may never have been in the first place. They just pinned it on us. But now when you call out a Jewish person, an individual, I got a lot of good friends, Jewish friends, and they're not all bad, you know. But when you say, you know, you're running the banks or you're running the media or you're running the porn or you're creating a genocide. They don't say, oh no, we reject that. What they say is that's anti-Semitic. So, I mean, they should have just said, saying slavery was bad was anti-Semitic. They could have kept the racket going, Harrison. You feel my drift?
Oh, that's, strategically very, very smart. Yes. I think I see exactly what you're saying. Absolutely. That's still a pretty controversial statement. Have you had any problems with your record label, perhaps? Of course, we've had IMA on quite a few times. She wrote just a few lines about the genocide in Gaza, and she was kicked immediately by her label and lost her representation. Have you run into trouble like that, sir?
Well, let me tell you, I learned a lot, you know, just from your show and just even seeing Kanye West on there. And, you know, I knew when I was releasing these albums, I knew I was going to get in trouble. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. As American, the First Amendment, and God forbid we ever need the Second Amendment. And you know what that's for is when they take the first away. And the geniuses that created this country, they put it up in such a way that you would be able to control your future and your destiny by speaking out your mind. And when someone tries to stop you from doing that, man, you got to do everything you can. I got to give a shout out to Jake Lang, man. I mean, a lot of people think he's a Fed. He's on there talking about, you know, his militia, so on and so forth. You know, he says some crazy stuff, but man, that boy, I said it before and I'll say it again. He's got balls and he literally, I mean, literally puts them on the line, man, because there ain't nothing stopping him getting shot or having his balls cut off like he was out there. It looked like he was doing the splits
mm-hmm.
when they were lynching that boy. And, you know, I got to say, I want to talk to his lawyer right now, because to me, I don't know, did they get a permit for that ice structure? And I mean, when does water become ice, and when does ice become art, and when does it become a law that I cannot interfere with water molecules?
It's a great question.
You're going to tell me if I jump into a pool that I'm interfering with the structure of the water molecules? I'm sorry, that don't fly around here. And I don't think they had a permit. Just like Owen Schroyer, man, they had people in the Capitol protests and everything. That boy stands up there with a thing on his mouth, and they shut him down because it's rules for thee and not for me. And unfortunately, we are not in the big club, as you know, Harrison.
Absolutely. And it seems like your song is sort of the natural progression from something like Oliver Anthony, The Richmond, North of Richmond, sort of a similar mindset, similar frustration you're expressing. Why are we working our fingers to the bone just to help a bunch of evil satanic pedophiles? It's a great question. What do we do about this? Because, and especially as you bring up the young lady, Maricana F7 on X.
It's her daughter, Flip's daughter, Vera, is the one who I'm sending the shout out to.
Well, you know, we need people like her around. And I was saying yesterday, the two things we need to avoid as kind of, I'm getting into a country accent hearing you here. This is what happens. I'm from Texas.
That's all right, man. You're from Texas.
Whenever I'm out working with, in the yard or whatever with people with Texas accents, mine starts coming out.
They got good burritos out there, man. I don't know, man. I'm out here in California. This other Matt, he's got a lot of good burritos out here, though, man. They give the Tex-Mex a run for its money out here in San Diego.
Yeah, if you like, I don't know, pineapple in your burrito or something. No, it's simple Mexican food for us. Thank you very much. We don't need any.
No, man, there ain't no pineapples, man. We're talking about a carne asada burrito, some guacamole, man. You know, good stuff.
The diversity we appreciate and enjoy. But, you know, I've been saying we need to avoid these two outcomes. One outcome is people just go off their head and just go, oh, it's all the Jews and we need to, Hitler was right, and just goes way overboard and gives the bad guys exactly what they want because they depend on the hatred to get the funding for the ADL and all this other stuff that's actually the mechanism by which they enslave us. So that's one option, is the overreach, overreaction. But then the other thing we want to avoid is that all this comes out, all these misdeeds are exposed, and then nothing happens and nobody gets arrested.
Yeah, let me talk about that, because I was thinking about that before I called in or came on your show here. Well, number one, the Hegelian dialectic, which Alex Jones is really popularized, but it's a thing that the ruling elite has used a long time. I mean, when the burning of Rome and all these things, you know, they basically create a false flag. It's the oldest trick in the book. So you don't want to feed into their thing. But at the same time, Harrison, I mean, we are being groomed by these people, because a grooming process, you would do to a child, you know, you touch and do this and you get them used to it. Or if you're a pimp, you know, you slap the hoe, you know what I mean? Keep her in line. You got to keep that pimp hand strong. Now, if you cheat on your wife, God forbid, and, you know, maybe you have a moment of weakness at some point in time, that's one thing, you know, but you keep that to yourself. Now, if you go in there and you brag to her and she stays with you, you have broken that woman. Mm. And that is where we are at right now as a country and as a people. And that's what I mean about the smoking hopium thing, man. And, I mean, that song, no joke, I was listening to Alex Jones, and I mean this, and a dude called in, he's like, man, I just want to believe. I just need another hit of hopium. I mean, God's honest truth. That's what he literally said. And I was like, oh my God, man, people are literally addicted to this feeling. They've got to believe it, you know, but there ain't nobody coming to save you. And I'm not trying to be a downer, you know, the whole Matt Baker and the black pillars. I mean, I believe the black pill is a necessary evil. I feel it's like the, you know, the medicine, it's working when it don't taste good, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same way as you deal with, like, I was in AA for a while. I had a little bit of trouble with drugs and stuff. I grew up in a blue collar family. You know, I'm third generation construction worker. You know, we work with our hands. And, you know, sometimes after work, you have a little bit too much. But what I learned about addiction is the number one thing you have to do is you have to admit you have a problem, okay? One day you wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror, you say, Matt, you have got a problem. You've got to stop this. You got to do something, man. And that's where America's at right now, man. We got to look collectively in the mirror at ourselves and say, America, you have a problem, and we got to know how deep it is and how bad it is. And we got to hit that rock bottom and understand exactly how deep this rabbit hole goes before we can really start turning it around. And I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. And I just don't see any reason why it couldn't happen with a country and a whole nation.
That's such a good point. And that actually goes along with what I always say, is that when you take these psychological operations, whether it's against a small group like a cult or individuals, as you point out, I mean, the, you know, beating your wife, I mean, it's the same dynamics that inform, the pseudo slavery that we're in. It's the same methods that are applied at the national level. You're exactly right. It's these intrinsic, natural levers in the human mind that can be pulled by people with bad intentions. And it's the same thing that they do as a husband abusing his wife, as a cult leader abusing his followers, or as politicians abusing the nation. You're exactly right. It's all the same mechanism. And that's really brilliant that we got to recognize we have a problem before we can ever solve it. You're exactly right. Again, my guest is Matt with three T's, Baker.
Three T's, man.
_2.
Foot taller and a couple inches longer. Don't forget it.
And your hair's nicer and the smile's,
Luxurious. This is luxurious. My beard's looking a lot nicer, a lot thicker. His is kind of scruffy.
It absolutely is.
He's a good dude, man. He let me in his studio. I'm just joshing with you, man. You know, he's probably around here somewhere, but I don't know if he's going to make it in. I think he's out walking the dog or something.
He's probably going. He might be
hitting the wacky tobacco, man, but at least he ain't smoking opium, man. He's all right there, man. He's a good guy.
Smoking opium. Yeah, that's really, people are addicted to that idea. Man.
That'll screw you up. You'll smoke yourself retarded, man. You think weed gonna make you stupid, man? That ain't gonna do it. The smoking opium, that's what will put you in a hole, man.
Okay,
we're
trying to thread the needle here, right? Because we're not smoking opium. We're not just putting our hope in something that doesn't exist, but we're also not accepting defeat and accepting that all these powerful people are able to do this to us without consequence. So how do we thread that needle? How do we remain hopeful that there is a solution, that we can fix things, that we don't just give up and roll over, while not trusting to people that are selling us bullcrap? How do we do this?
Well, I think, you know, Alex Jones always says, as long as you're in the battle, then you have not lost. So sure. As long as you are still fighting is whoever gives up first, you know? So, I mean, this battle ain't going nowhere. I don't foresee that we win in a triumphant ending victory, you know, like the video game that I have in the end of my video there. But what I do see is that we continue to keep our morale up. And like I said, just cause I'm blackpilling and just cause I'm looking the world and the truth in the eye, and I'm admitting the problem, doesn't mean I'm not inspired. It doesn't mean I don't look up at the Milky Way in awe. And every time you look up at that Milky Way, I don't want you to feel like, oh my God, I'm trapped by these bastards. I want you to see how beautiful this universe is. And I want you to see that we still have all of the potential God's given us since we were born. I mean, you know, you see what happened with black people. They were oppressed, and the Jewish people. And sometimes it's this pressure that makes these diamonds, man. And you just take in, internalize whatever's coming at you and just don't give up and keep pushing on through. And you'd be amazed at the amount of, you know, inspiration that you can get and the passion. It's the animating liberty contest of liberty. That is, I'm sorry. You know, it's crazy, Harrison. I'm actually a little nervous on this show. I've like played concerts on the moon and I've like sung in front of thousands of people, and just being on your show, it's got me giddy. I feel like butterflies, man. This is amazing. I feel like I'm in an out of body experience right now.
Well, it's, you know, you are a true superstar, and that is really something. But
man,
I guess,
I'm just like y'all.
But when you're up there on stage on the moon, the thousands of people looking at you, I guess that's sort of your element. I guess the nervousness goes away because you know what you're doing and you're in command. What does that feel like?
Well, man, it's like snowboarding. You know, when I was a kid, I used to run down hills, and it was the weirdest thing. And nobody taught me this. You get going so fast that there's no way you can stop. You just have to keep jumping over trees and rolling and doing stuff. And it's the adrenaline, and you just focus on your next move, and you just stay in the zone, man. And you just ride it out, man. And when you got a couple of cuties in the front row singing a song along with you, man, that don't hurt neither.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can only imagine. You're entering a flow state is what you're talking about, entering a flow state. So, you know, I want to
talk about that real quick. Sorry, nothing would cut you off.
Go ahead.
But I mean, that is literally what these evil bastards are trying to do. When they divide us, or they try to make us feel helpless, or that they are a pimp and we have given up, that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to trap your soul, and therein lies your flow, my friend.
What advice do you have to people, who would like to follow in your footsteps, who maybe have some songs of their own, that they want to get out there? I mean, again, you've had some incredible success, and tell us how people can find the song and how they can share it and download it and all that. 'Cause we need to keep pushing this thing up, the charts. Right now it's only got two songs on it. So it's at the top of the charts as it stands now. But we want to keep that, you know, popularity going. How can people find your stuff, and how can people do what you do?
Well, ain't nobody going to do what I do, man. I'm sorry. I can't help you there, but I tell you what you can do is you can help me. You can help this battle, and you can play this song. You can call in your local radio station, because this is on all platforms. You can request. This is how they used to do it back in the day. They would have people call in like Trump did. You know, he calls in. He's like, oh, Trump's a good guy. You know, he does that stuff. They call in and ask for the song to play, man. Call them up and say, play Smoking Hopium. And if you don't want to say Texas to pedophiles, I actually have the song out there and another name, a little softer name that some people might get in under the radar. It's called Out in Deep Space. Out in Deep Space is the first part of the hook. The second part is paying taxes to pedophiles. Now that's more catchy, but a lot of these people, they'll shut you down if you try and tell them that right up all front.
Right.
But now you can play this on your Instagram reels or whatever. Like you use a sound on an Instagram reel or on a TikTok. You put it on there and you go out and play it. You show pictures of these damn pedos and you play that music in the background. And every time that plays, it tells the algorithm what to do. And another thing you can do is you can download it. You can download it on iTunes. You can play it on Spotify. You can stream it, you know, but what I really want to do, Terrison, what I really see in my heart. Now I hope maybe Jake Lang would do this for me, or one of the people out there at these protests, like bump this song. Like back during COVID, I was bumping Jimmy Levy every time we would do a protest. Like go outside of a building of these damn pedos and bump that song and make a big scene out of it and upload it, man. If you don't even have a platform, I'll do it, and I'll get my little cousin to post that up too. He's got a pretty big following there on TikTok and X, you know.
You're using his X account to help get your message out there.
I'm old school, Harrison. You know, I don't even have a smartphone. You know, I'm still using a pager, man. I was working on the pipelines and they just had a pager, and ever since then that's all I got. So he hooks me up. I give him a hard time, but you know, Matt's a good dude, and you just follow him at slave_2_liberty. You get hold of me there and just use 3 T's, and that way we'll know who you're talking to.
Absolutely. Well, you tell your cousin I say hi. We'll have to reconnect with him soon. But this has been absolutely fantastic. Congratulations on the success of your new song. We're going to go out with that song. It's called Taxes to Pedophiles, also known as Out in Deep Space, from Matt Baker at slave_2_liberty. Here it is.
Damn straight.
Out on the edge, hear the Milky Way's arm. There's a hardworking man working hard on his farm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take this. It helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
We'll be right back.